Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday. It is October 23rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, authorities rushed to evacuate low-lying areas and set up shelters as extremely dangerous Hurricane Willa, with winds of 145 miles per hour, headed toward a Tuesday afternoon landfall along a stretch of Mexico's Pacific coast dotted with high-rise resort surfing beaches and fishing villages. Farther south, meanwhile, Mexican officials reported late Monday that there had been 12 deaths related to heavy rains and tropical storm Vicente. Willa briefly reached Category 5 strength and then weakened to a Category 4. But the U.S. National Hurricane Center warned that it still would likely bring life-threatening storm surge, wind, and rainfall to parts of west central and southwestern Mexico. Workers taped up windows in hotels and officials ordered schools closed in the low-lying region where towns sit in the middle of farmlands tucked between the sea and lagoons. Officials say 7,000 to 8,000 people were being evacuated from the areas. The U.S. Hurricane Center warned that Willa could bring 6 to 12 inches of rain with up to 18 inches of rain in some spots.
Wow, that does not sound good. Low-lying areas between lagoons and the sea.
Yeah, exactly.
That does not sound good. Wow.
Flash flooding and landslides are possible in the mountainous areas. Farther to the south, a weakening tropical storm, Vicente, was expected to dissipate soon, but it is still causing heavy rainfall and caused dangerous flooding in southern and southwestern Mexico. Officials say that 7 adults and 5 children had lost their lives to drownings and mudslides. Police are searching for a man who they say failed to appear for trial on rape and sex assault charges Monday morning in Doylestown. 48-year-old Shannon Westmoreland is accused of sexually assaulting a 15-year-old while he was a youth football coach with the Ben Salem Ramblers Athletic Association in 2005. Westmoreland is also charged with sexually assaulting another child from the age of 4 until she was 10, plus a third child in 1999 when she was 6 years old. Police accuse him of sexually assaulting her again in 2011 when she was 18 years old. Prosecutors say the bail was revoked and a bench warrant has been issued for Westmoreland of Westchester. Anyone with information should call 911. I really don't know why they let them, why they post bail or why they even
I know.
Set bail for these people. Why are you allowing them to continue to walk around?
And there's a high level of recidivism.
The record Mega Millions drawing worth $1.6 billion is tonight. The semi-weekly jackpot has been growing since July 24th, causing a frenzy at many convenience stores across the United States based on sales projections. Listen to this.
All right.
75% of the 302 million possible combinations will be chosen for the drawing that's tonight, according to the Associated Press, making it more than likely that there will be a winner this time. So 75% of 302 million possible combinations will be drawn.
Yeah, we had last night we went out to dinner with my family for my wife's birthday, and we had a nice family discussion at the table as to what we will do.
Yeah.
Really?
With all of the winnings.
All right. Well, you know, you should plan
to pass. So yeah. It was interesting hearing everybody's contributions.
Well, what's adorable are the little children's concept of money. Because my son's like, would you get me $150 of PlayStation bucks? And I'm like, yes, I would.
I will guarantee you.
Done deal.
Go out on a limb right now and say, yes, we'll do that.
And then we're cool,
right?
Yeah. And nothing else.
And nothing else.
And then we're cool.
I think I saw also this morning that there's a 7% chance that there wouldn't be a winner and that, you know, it would continue to rise.
So would that not be? All right. So it's already astonishing. There's a part of it that's almost wanting to see it go to that next level.
Yeah, to see what it would be. The $1.6 billion is the estimated amount for those who take the annuity option spread over 30 payments. The cash option pays out an estimated $904 million all at once. Any amount would be shared, obviously, if there are multiple winning tickets across the country. The largest U.S. lottery jackpot ever won was $1.586 billion in Powerball in January of 2016.
You know, it'd be hilarious is if you win this, you know, $1.6 billion and then you decide to up your standard of living and move into this super duper posh neighborhood and the people rolling their eyes about, oh my God, the lottery winners are moving
in. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
They
can
didn't work
you believe
for this.
It? Well, they didn't inherit this. Yeah. They won it. My God.
That's not real money.
Yeah.
The Powerball jackpot.
Well, it's really rubbing in, Preston. Have your mother drive around in a rocking chair strapped to the back of the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my wife's dad come in and
walk the dog
with his shirt off. Yeah.
Hey, folks.
Yeah.
So
warn it.
I've got a friend who
I'll put my sister up front smoking cigarettes.
Right. You know, yeah.
Whose client has a lot of money, and he earned it. He earned every bit of it. But yeah. He is kind of just a standard guy and now has all of this money. So he, you know, has like a big, beautiful house, but put like a heliport in his lawn so he
of
can
course.
Fly a helicopter in and like is just doing all the cool things that you would think about if, mm-hmm. you know, if you had this money.
So he's having fun with it.
Totally having
there
fun.
There you
with
go.
It. But if you're like, they're just like normal. Like, they seem like they're normal, everyday people.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Keep your head on straight.
The Powerball jackpot.
Play with your heliport.
The Powerball jackpot has reached an estimated $620 million after there was no winner on Saturday. So I'd be okay with either one of these, I think.
Yeah.
The next drawing will take place at 10:59 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, and that's for the Powerball. So Mega Millions tonight, Powerball tomorrow. Get your tickets. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Colorado Avalanche beat the Flyers 4-1 last night in South Philly. Mikko Rantanen had two goals, and the Avalanche continued their early season hot streak, finishing 3-0-1 on their fourth game road trip. Meanwhile, the Flyers continue to struggle at home as they lost their third game of the season and once again had difficulties in the defensive zone. They're off until Thursday when they travel to Boston to play the Bruins. In Monday Night Football, the New York Giants lost to the Falcons in Atlanta, falling 23-20. Matt Ryan threw for 379 yards and completed his final 18 passes to lead the Falcons to their second straight win. Ryan threw a 47-yard touchdown pass to Marvin Hall, and the Falcons sent the Giants to their fourth straight loss. In other football news, the Dallas Cowboys have acquired wide receiver Amari Cooper from the Oakland Raiders for a 2019 first-round pick. The Raiders will now have three first-round picks in 2019. Cooper, who was the fourth overall pick in the 2015 draft, has 22 catches for 280 yards and a touchdown in six games this season. He began his career with back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and made the Pro Bowl twice. The Sixers will look to win their third game in a row when they play the Pistons tonight in Detroit. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock, and the World Series begins tonight in Boston as the Red Sox will host the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Exciting.
At Fenway.
Exciting.
Baseball still being played.
Yeah. Both of the team's aces will get the start in Game 1. Clayton Kershaw will go for the Dodgers, and Chris Sale will pitch for the Red Sox. The first pitch is set for 8:09, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. And here we are a couple days into the work week. Don't forget we have a trip to Las Vegas that we are going to give away on Friday. So we'll get you closer with a letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. And then... before all of that, actually, 8 a.m. birthday bucks, another shot at a grand. That'd be very nice. So listen, your day may be today. Your time may be this morning at 8 a.m. Let's get you there. We also have a couple guests on the program. We have Hottie Cam, Miss October, was scheduled for yesterday. She couldn't make it. She's going to make it in today. So we'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Samantha is her name. We have Tattoos Day.
Yes.
Kurt is coming in to get some ink. And we'll have an artist from Philadelphia, Eddie, stopping in to handle all of that. And we will have actor and director Paul Dano here at about 9 o'clock this morning. And he is promoting the film Wildlife with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
And it's getting rave reviews so far.
Tremendously good reviews.
It's a heavy, serious movie.
Yeah.
He's a very, very talented actor and now working his way into directing. And that's where his passion lies. So it's going to be pretty cool to have him stop by this morning. So we'll have that. And our friends from Harvest Seasonal Grill are going to be here. And they're going to stop in and bring some goodies. And we should have some goods here. I'm looking at this. I got it right here. We have some giveaways in conjunction with that. So we'll tell you what you need to do to win a little bit later on. And something that I have been slacking on the past few days is tomorrow night is our screening of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
At the UA King of Prussia. So I need to blow out lots of tickets for this. And I will take 10 callers right now at 215-263-WMMR. The screening will be at 7:30. You need to be there by 7. UA King of Prussia. Very excited about this movie. I'm definitely going to be going to that screening, so maybe we will see you there. Call now. 10 people get on board. 215-263-WMMR. And that is for tomorrow night. So these things and more are happening through the course of the morning. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. Come back in just a moment. Give away some more stuff with the stupid question. And I'll roll out those entertainment stories for you when we get back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to give away this morning for the stupid question a pair of tickets to MMR Rocks, Tenacious D. They're playing at the Fillmore on Thursday, November 8th. So let's see if you can figure this one out. It's not quite as obvious as it seems. Genuine Panama hats come exclusively from what country?
Interesting.
215-263 WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. We still have everybody on hold for the movie ticket today?
What?
Wow. Okay. Genuine Panama hats come exclusively from what country? See if you can figure that out. We're going to go through some birthdays today on Tuesday, October 23rd. We'll start with one gentleman who's going to be in town in just a couple of days. Robert Trujillo of Metallica celebrates his 54th birthday today. I'd like to see how many years he has now been with the band. He's always going to be the new guy.
Yeah.
He's the third bassist for the band, but seems like a pretty cool guy every time I've seen an interview with him. And we had our own Jose sit down and spend some time with him many years ago.
Mr. Rob from Metallic.
Mr. Rob from Metallic.
Yep, he asked him a series of questions, and Rob liked him.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah.
He joined the band in 2003.
Okay. And
that's a sweet gig.
He created a documentary about Jaco Pastorius, a tribute to possibly the greatest bass player of all time. And it's worth a watch if you are a fan of his. So Robert is 54 years old today, and he'll be here in just a couple of days for MMR's 50th birthday party. It's also Weird Al Yankovic's birthday today. Yep.
It might be crazy wearing stripes and plaid.
What's this one called?
Tacky.
Tacky.
Good happy. How can you not love Weird Al?
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
He was just on Carpool Karaoke, and the boys from Lonely Island, Andy Samberg and the other guys, are massive fans, and so they were in the car, and I think we might have the audio from it, where they sang that, I think.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yes.
The Michael Jackson. Yes. Oh, that's great. Hang on, let me bring this down. Case, let me know when you're ready.
Ready.
All right, here we go.
The song is fat. The paper cracks when I fall down. I've got more chips.
Then what?
The Chinatown.
Hold on.
I never see my toes. When I'm going to the movies, I take up seven rows because I'm fat.
That's a high range.
From that video, from the fat video in particular, he does, you know, because what he would do, like when he did with Beat It, with Eat
It. Yes, yeah, yeah.
He recreated all of the dance steps to
everything.
A T.
Yes.
He didn't execute them the way Michael did, but he did all the moves. And in fat, there's one where you know, at the beginning, Michael comes back. He's back in the old neighborhood, and his old buddies have gotten tough, and they're giving him a hard time because he's now educated, and he's
right. Yeah,
and so they're playing that off. And at some point in the original video, Michael goes, you know, you ain't bad, you ain't nothing, and he gives kind of this menacing look, and Al spoofs on that.
Yeah,
it is hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. He did it such a great job with those videos.
Those outlandish prosthetics that they had him in too
are just
so hilarious.
Yeah. He's an awesome entertainer. Weird Al Yankovic, 59 years old today. Amelia Clark. Who is from Game of Thrones, of course. She is the mother of dragons. Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones. And she's also in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Damn it, I gotta see it. I've got to see that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, don't watch it on the plane either. And if you're going to watch a Star Wars movie, you should watch it in optimum conditions if you can. And I've said it before. It's good. It's not great, but it's entertaining. She's really good in it. Her relationship with Han Solo is sort of the focal point of the story.
She's 32 years old today. Lovely Emilia Clarke.
I do need movies for the plane, though, that you bring
up.
Oh,
damn?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is not for you.
I can suggest some really good ones, Kathy.
Fortunately, now, on those transatlantic flights, they usually have a really good selection of flicks for you to choose from. So
they do. Yeah. But if you want movies that are guaranteed to make people sitting behind you uncomfortable, I have a whole list.
Oh, my God.
Well, I watched The Hunger Games on a flight once, and there was a part where, I don't know, somebody jumps out at somebody, and I screamed and, like, threw my hands up, and I was in the middle seat, and both people were hysterical laughing at me. I was like, sorry.
Actually, we should be able to check what movies are on our flight ahead of time, right?
They usually have now, there's you basically have a massive, or at least a very large selection, of current films.
We might actually be on an older plane. I called.
Prop plane.
The guy didn't sound super confident that he knew what he was talking about, so I'm not going to say this 100%, but he said that there are not seat back screens
right.
that you can just log on to Wi-Fi, but you have to use your own device.
What?
Yeah.
Who booked this flight? Are you freaking serious?
Are you a fan of film Critters? We got that.
Oh,
that's why I called, because I knew that was an option. Like I said, he didn't sound like 100% confident. He put me on hold. He came back, and that was the answer I got.
Oh, right. What am I?
That's good.
I'm going to win $1.6 billion.
We'll just fly
on your
plane.
I'll buy a plane by tomorrow.
Yeah, upgrade. We'll fly on yours.
Free booze on international flights? Is that still
the
case?
No, not on American.
Son of a...
If you fly a European airline.
Okay. We have another birthday, Ryan Reynolds. He is 42 years old today, and he's loving life. He just has hit after hit after hit.
Yeah,
and,
but that dog of a wife.
Oh, man. And let us not forget, he was once married to Scarlett Johansson, too.
Yes, and then moved on to Blake Lively.
Mm-hmm, yep.
He deserves all of his success because he fought tooth and nail to get Deadpool put on the screen the proper way.
Mm-hmm. So he's 42 today. Ang Lee, the director, movies like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Brokeback Mountain, Life of Pi.
Great movies.
He's 64 today.
And the original Hulk.
That is correct. Sam Raimi, Spider-Man films, Evil Dead movies, Drag Me to Hell, Oz, The Great and Powerful.
I will command you, if you have not seen the original Evil Dead, watch it this Halloween.
So he's 59 today. Nancy Grace, CNN headline news personality. It says 60, disputed.
Yeah, I'm sure, by a couple of decades.
And then the last birthday is Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie.
Yeah,
Flutie Flakes.
He is celebrating his 56th birthday today. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Genuine Panama hats come exclusively from what country? 215-263 WMMR is the number, and I will go to Nick, see if we can get it. Nick, good morning.
Guys, rock. Good morning.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Where do Panama hats come from?
Is it Ecuador?
It's Ecuador.
Yeah!
Spot on, Nick. Hang on a second. And that's where our buddy Jose is from.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to give you a pair of tickets, MMR Rocks, Tenacious D at the Fillmore on Thursday, November 8th. And the show is sold out. So when you get the tickets here, you're getting exclusive seats, my friend. So congratulations to you. All right, let's start with this. Amandla Stenberg strutted her red carpet at the European premiere of her latest film, The Hate U Give, opting to not cover up her unshaved armpits.
All right.
Several Hollywood stars have taken to the red carpet and social media in recent years with unshaved pits. The reception, as one would expect, is decidedly mixed. Some of the more notable repeat hair bearers are Beyoncé. Drew Barrymore.
They're letting the hair fly. Yeah. In fact, many of them, the bush extends up over their belt on their pants.
Yeah. No, the armpit hair.
Oh.
So
I see you're wearing one of those bush belts. Yeah,
extends up over their belt. No, this is their armpit hair.
Armpit hair, of course. That's more logical.
Drew Barrymore, Michelle Rodriguez, Lola Kirky, or is it Kirk? I don't know. Madonna, of course.
She's done that before, though.
Yeah. Kelly Rowland. Yeah, these are just people who are repeat hair bearers. Halle Berry has Grace Jones and Juliette Lewis. The 19-year-old non-binary actor wore Valentino at this red carpet event. She pointed out her pits in a social media caption.
Look at my pits!
Featuring a hashtag, drama and armpit.
And I didn't wipe.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't wipe either. Stenberg has long been outspoken about her bisexuality and society's expectations regarding gender and sexuality. She said, I want to show people who follow what I'm doing that you don't really have to conform to those constructs in order to be valid to be worth something.
I don't know who this chick is.
She's from this movie, The Hate U Give.
Yeah, I know, but was she in anything
else? She was Rue in Hunger Games, which we were just talking about.
Oh, she's a kid in that movie.
Well, she's a kid.
She's still a kid. I mean, she's only 19. But this photo that she posted on Instagram is sexy.
Yeah.
And
the armpit hair.
Shows a lot of cleavage. And then there's the armpit hair. But it's not very noticeable.
No. Yeah. It looks more like a shadow than anything.
Look at my hairy pits.
It's still disgusting.
And
she'd look
bush.
Way hotter if her armpits didn't look like that.
Hey, listen, that's very European, is it not?
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
How about all the guys here are like, oh, you know, it's European. Kathy's like, you're a pig.
You disgusting sow.
Personally, I'm not, as a very hairless, hair-deprived person, I don't think it's a good look. You know, I don't have very hairy pits.
And I knew I liked you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I don't care.
You can do what you want.
Whatever floats your boat. She said, it's been such a blessing to watch people who care about what I have to say feel more comfortable in their identities because they see I'm out here doing my thing.
Look at my pits! Yeah. Look, everybody!
Today's her birthday, actually. She turns 20 years old today.
What?
Yeah.
I'm 20
years old. Happy birthday!
She's an idiot kid.
Amandla Stenberg. An idiot?
An idiot kid. It'll go away. She'll shave them.
She'll shave them.
Well, Beyonce and Drew Barrymore and Kelly Rowland and Halle Berry and Grace Jones.
Hey, bunch of morons.
Let me ask you all a legit question.
All right. Legit?
Legit question.
Okay, all right.
Straight up, dude.
Had your wife had hairy armpits when you first met her, would you have asked her out on a date?
Probably not.
No, right?
Yeah.
Rochelle? Yeah, I would have.
Yeah?
I loved my wife's pits. In fact, the first time I saw her, I was able to see all of her pits. She was rocking major pits.
Boobs outweigh pits.
I was just going to say, have you seen her boobs?
Yeah.
The pits didn't matter.
What if her armpits were so hairy that it meshed across in front and covered her boobs?
I might reconsider it if that were the case.
That's a weird look.
Yeah. Liam Neeson's son, Michael, is honoring his late mother, Natasha Richardson, by changing his last name from Neeson to Richardson, according to reports.
That's nice.
Yeah, the 23-year-old was just 13 when his mother died at 45 in a skiing accident in Quebec.
God, I remember that.
Yeah, that was tragic.
Yes.
The late Parent Trap star's mother, Vanessa Redgrave, said that he didn't change his name out of lack of respect for his father, but simply to honor his mother.
I'm sure his father's on board with it. I haven't read anything, but that's a loving gesture.
Redgrave told the Daily Mail that wasn't because he wanted to avoid his father's name, which is enormous. He wanted to hold his mother close to him because she was a remarkable actress, absolutely remarkable.
And just to follow suit, I'll be changing my name to Vanessa Redgrave. No, you don't have to do that, Dad. I want to.
All right. Mrs. Vanessa Redgrave.
Yes, I ordered a head for a table. My name is Mrs. Vanessa Redgrave.
Really?
Look at my hairy pits.
Yesterday, I was flipping around channels, and I saw that Taken was on, so yeah. I swung by there. Unfortunately, it was at the very, very end, and I missed it out. It's where he finally gets his daughter back.
You were at the point of giving back.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it made me want to go back and watch the movie again.
I love it.
I haven't given the other ones really the time of day.
They're stupid. Yeah. I mean, honestly, because knock it off already.
Yeah,
you know, you got tooked once. You know, take me once, shame on me.
How many
were? Shame on you.
How many are there?
14.
No.
There's three.
Three. Okay. Yeah. The second one wasn't bad. I saw the second one.
It was okay.
That was the one where she was in Spain, right? Or is that the first one?
I don't remember.
Whatever.
No.
I remember seeing two of them, and the second one wasn't bad.
So
I didn't see the third.
Basically, in the next one, in number two, I believe it's the daughter is assisting. They get taken, the parents.
Yes.
Or is that the third?
Well, that is one of them. Maybe that's because I only saw two, so.
And then in the fourth one, it's in the Old West.
Right.
Oh, no, wait.
Right. I just know when I gave up, I was flipping by and I saw part of the third one on TV, and he's like, okay, go outside and toss the grenade so I can hear where they explode.
I need you to toss the grenade.
Really? You mean other people didn't have a problem with you throwing grenades out? Okay.
I want you to know I possess a very special set of skills. My name is Mrs. Vanessa Redgrave.
In 2015, Michael, his son, had spoke of the traumatic loss of his mother, saying, in my mind, subconsciously, I either pushed it out or stored it deep inside. And so within the next week, I was like, okay, on with my life. But his grief caught up with him. He said the thing started going downhill. The people I was with, we were partying a lot. It was dark. I hit rock bottom.
Neeson, I can see that, you know, sitting there in the back of your mind.
Neeson and Richardson shared two sons, Michael and Daniel, who is 22. So he's changing his name, which is a nice tribute.
My name is Madonna Chacone.
A musician who was just hoping to score a free ride to Australia's Byron Bay was given the ultimate surprise when Thor himself pulled up and told him to hop in.
What?
Chicago native. That's right. Chicago native Scott Hildebrand said he had just hopped off a flight from Mexico when he thought he would try his luck hitchhiking from Brisbane Airport to the popular beach town. Well, Hildebrand said that within 15 minutes, Chris Hemsworth and a pal named Luke Zocchi, who's a personal trainer, had pulled up. Admitting that he didn't know who they were at the time, Hildebrand said that he felt kind of unsure about the whole situation. He said because the pair were filming the encounter.
Yes.
It was only when their black van pulled up to a nearby helipad that the penny finally dropped. They said, we're going to make a quick stop and switch vehicles. And at that point, he said, I was like, oh, can I help pitch him for gas? And they're like, you're not going to want to do that because it's going to be about $4,000.
And isn't that cool?
He said that was when I was like, who are you guys? And they revealed who they were. And
this is Vanessa Rudy.
So Hemsworth uploaded a video of the encounter to Instagram. I guess they were driving around looking to do that, pick somebody up and have some fun. Or
they just happened to see the guy. They happened to be going in that general direction and they figured, yeah, let's. And he got to ride on their helicopter.
You know what? And he does look a lot different in person when he doesn't have the beard and the long hair.
You wouldn't instantly recognize
him. Might not know right off the bat who that was.
Of course, he's in Thor shape.
Of course, yeah. So he,
son of a bitch.
That's pretty amazing, man. Could you imagine having an experience like that?
Yes.
Somebody coming along and just all of a sudden they're uber-duber famous.
Well, what was the...
One of the Avengers.
The Dave Matthews story where he was picked up...
Was it Hershey?
Yeah, I think he got stuck, right? He got stranded.
What, his bicycle.
Bike. And Nick, he was dressed as the Hulk.
He was not dressed as the Hulk. But the person that picked him up, I believe, was going to the Dave Matthews
concert.
Yes,
they were.
And gave him a ride.
Don't you love stories like that?
There was one of David Lee Roth. I think it was like in Florida or something like that. And either his car broke out or and somebody picked him up and had to give him a ride to the show.
He just needed a ride.
Yeah. Maybe he just needed
and
a ride.
And then how about Bob Dylan got arrested just for walking?
Walking around New Jersey looking like a vagrant.
A vagrant. Bob Dylan.
I'm sorry.
No, you're a bum. I'm there.
Get this bum out of here.
So Chris Hemsworth gave the guy a ride. That's pretty
cool. He says he's hey, hey.
Excuse me?
He says he's here. Hey, hey. How do you spell that?
Hey, Amy Schumer announced that she is expecting her first child.
Get out!
With her husband, Chris Fisher, via Instagram. But it wasn't on her own Instagram account. She had posted about to announce some exciting news on Jessica Yellen Insta page. Please follow her for up to the minute. News, not noise. She breaks down what's really going on. She agreed to post a little noise today for me. Follow her and vote. She captioned a photo of herself and Fisher, photoshopped as Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, sending fans to Jessica Yellen's page. And then the last line after a list of Schumer's voting picks, she wrote, I'm pregnant, Amy Schumer.
So there you go.
They got a baby on the way.
That's very nice.
Well, good for her.
It's funny because if you ever listen to a lot of her stand-up, this was something that seemed like it would never happen.
I figured that might be the case. Yeah, she's probably...
she's changed a bit.
I think so, yes.
Love can do that, Preston.
It can. Wells Adams is defending girlfriend Sarah Hyland from Skinny Shamers.
Wells is doing this? I always liked Wells.
For the second time this month. A critic piped up against a fan who said that she was too skinny to be healthy. And this is what this person wrote. May catch a lot of S for this, but Sarah Hyland, you have a large fan base filled with both fans who care about your well-being and those who are yes men and will say whatever to make you happy. Me, I'm the type of fan who is really concerned. And then they wrote this on a throwback photo of Hyland that she had posted on Instagram. She wrote, you look really unhealthy. Being that skinny can't be safe. Now go and lynch me for expressing myself. But Wells... backed her up.
Wells jumped right in.
And he wrote, Well, he misspelled your, by the way.
Instead of never said he was smart. He's passionate.
But he wrote, you're the type of fan who's a douchebag.
Whoa!
Oh, roasted!
God damn! What a well-thought-out...
Call him Woo! Coffee Respond. Beans, because he just got roasted!
You're the type of fan who's a douchebag.
Yous are totally a douchebag.
Uh-huh. And that's all he had to say.
Douchebag. Is Wells Adams her boyfriend?
Yes.
Who is he? And he is an actor.
Oh, I have no
idea. He's a magician.
Wells Adams.
He grooms armpit hair.
It just says Wells Adams is defending girlfriend Sarah Hyland. I have no idea who
Wells
Adams
is. We're going to find out who this guy is.
All right.
I want to buy him a soda.
He was in a soda?
I don't know how old he is, Nick.
Okay.
He's 51.
He was on The Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, he loves
her.
I love you. Yeah. I love you, sir. I love you. I love you.
She's gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
She looks healthier, I have to say, and she's talked about it. She's had a issues with the medical problems and that she was born with, and you know, not by anything that she's done. And she did look, her complexion was a little more pale last season. This season, she looks great,
yeah.
And hopefully, she's on a good health trend.
Yeah, yeah,
it's got to be difficult to deal with that. Whatever it is, I think it's kidney related or it's pernicious, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was, Steve, but you are correct about that. But Wells has her back. And he calls people
Wills!
A douchebag.
Wills to the rescue.
If they are going to...
call me Wishing Wells.
If they are going to cross her, so...
Yeah, douchebag.
Kim Kardashian says that she is focused on privacy, but getting back to normalcy after her Paris robbery. She said on Alec Baldwin's podcast, "In the last 3 months, I feel like I've come out of my shell a little bit more, back to who I was." Said I was never depressed.
What does Wells have to say about this?
Oh, I don't know what right. Wells
has to
say about
this.
Oh,
he's gone radio silent, Steve. Yeah.
She said, I was never depressed, but I wasn't motivated to get up and work like I used to. She said,
I don't want to get up. I don't feel like it.
She said, it shook me.
It shook me.
In addition to the robbery, she says that her husband Kanye West inspired her to focus more on family. She said it started with Kanye because he lived a more, you know, his work life is very public. But then, like, when he was off,
like,
he was very private and everything had to be public for me back then.
Yeah, I guess that means something. Have you watched this Alec Baldwin show on Sunday night?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's on ABC.
And?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's like, it's kind of a Bob Costas setup, which I really do love.
Just a one-on-one, sit down, having a talk.
I mean, I saw it was one-on-one, it was him with who was last week's guest?
I don't know.
I'm having a brain fart now. It was his first guest.
Alec's a better guest than host.
I think so. But, you know, Nick, in the interview, he ends up interviewing himself anyway, eventually.
He does. Yeah.
So he ends up being a good guest.
She said, and everything had to be public for me back then, so I had to kind of flip it.
Flip it good.
She said, now it's like on my time off, I'm like, where are the locations I can go eat?
Could you please stop using the word like? Seriously, it's the sign of an imbecile. I mean, so with all due respect, I think you and Kanye are a super power couple, but at this point, it makes you look like an imbecile.
She said, now it's like on my time off, I'm like...
Now your brother Stephen Baldwin.
I'm like, where Touché. Are the locations I can go eat, go on vacation where no one will see us?
So, that's great.
Privacy is.
Let's go to commercial now. That's great. Folks, watch this next commercial. Very impressive. A man takes a screen door and makes it the bottom of his boat.
Little doggy! Yeah, doggy!
I mean, that kind of sealant, you just can't argue with.
He's now doing commentary on commercials.
He's very excited.
Wow.
He didn't want to use the, you know, I mean, you lose that joy of life and excitement and discovery. You know, what's the purpose of living?
God, I still think these two, her and Kanye, are a bizarro couple. I really do.
You know, it's weird, Preston, is that leading up to the whole thing, he freely admitted, remember in the beginning, that he, one of his favorite things to do was to pleasure himself to her porn video.
I don't remember that.
Yes.
I don't know if it was one of his favorite things, but he did do it.
He really said yes.
Okay. All right.
It wasn't like he was against it.
Yeah.
doggy!
That's very impressive. You need to put this into perspective. The hull of that boat is a screen door. Sealed.
It's pretty amazing, actually.
I would buy that.
Yeah. Julia Roberts built her career making some of the most beloved romantic comedies of the modern era. So movies like Pretty Woman, Notting Hill, My Best Friend's Wedding, and so on.
Pretty Woman one of your favorites, Kathy?
Oh, yeah. I loved that.
All right. I did, too.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But she's done. With
she's
rom-com.
Done.
She's done with rom-com.
Knock it off.
And not for the reason you may think. She's not just turning to a more serious side. It, she said, unless we play the parents of the people that are rom-comming, because she's 50 years old now, claiming that she simply aged out of the role. She said, there came a point in my career where people thought that I had turned on romantic comedies, which I love them. I love to be in them. I love to watch them. But sometimes they just don't work at a certain point of life experience.
I think there have been, though, some good older romantic comedies with, like, Diane Keaton.
Yeah. Listen, I'll tell you one that I love, and Alec Baldwin is in it.
That's right. It's called the Meryl Streep.
It's complicated.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that movie.
It was a joy to work with Meryl.
Yeah, they're a divorced couple, and Steve Martin is in it.
Absolutely.
And
another great talent.
Yes. And who's the guy from The Office? Krasinski.
Yeah.
Yes.
He plays the son. He is hilarious. He's a son-in-law.
He's very talented.
And he knows all the things
have
that are going on.
A Quiet Place?
What's that?
A Quiet Place.
I have seen A Quiet Place.
It's engaging.
It's a great movie.
That's not a rom-com, though.
He's an auteur.
It's more of a horror shocker type of
film. I was talking to my good friend Wells the other day, and he said he was a big fan of the movie, and then turned and defended Sarah Harlan.
But anyhow, it's I think that's a great rom-com for older people.
It is.
Yeah.
It's funny, because you would think we're talking about people in their 90s. What are they in their 50s, 60s?
Yeah, but they're beyond.
But they're older than the standard rom-com, which is Julia Roberts' point.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And she's on the set now of Taken 7, right?
No. Well, you know
she
what?
She plays Vanessa Rick.
I don't know. She could be, for all I know.
Well, we know what she's in. She Ben is well back. Be.
She is in Ben is Back, yeah, which is a pretty wild-looking movie, man. All right, let's see what else I have for you here. Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Listen to this. He's teaming up with a cryptocurrency-centric social entertainment platform run by entrepreneur Andrea Iervolino.
It's called Dipcoin.
No, but wait till you hear what it's called.
Oh, no. What is it?
Tatatoo.
Tatatoo. Holy Jesus.
Wait, what's Tata?
Ta ta ti ta.
No,
ta ta ti ti ta.
Triple ta.
Ta ta ta.
It's a Russian something. I'm gonna look it up.
Ta right. Ta. What look is it again, Preston?
Ta ta two. T a t a t u.
The pain.
Yeah, how would Johnny pronounce ta ta two?
T t t.
It's all the same.
T t t. I'm converting all my currency to t t t. It's a Russian cryptocurrency.
Nick is looking up Tata.
Well, the first Tata, it's a motor company, but I'm not sure where where it's based out of.
What's your price for
flight? Sister Christian is it?
Tata.
I don't know if these things have anything to do with one another. Tata is an Indian motor company.
Okay.
But I don't know if Tata 2.
Look up on Wikipedia. Look up Tata 2.
All right.
T-A-T-A-T-U. And I'm curious as to what it says about it, because I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand cryptocurrency.
In general?
It's been described to me. I've watched videos try to explain it. I still can't quite wrap my mind around it. But
what I do know, Preston, is that everyone who's talked about it describes it as being pretty volatile.
Yes.
So it's not the kind of thing you invest your entire life's fortune in.
If you've got some money to play with.
Right.
You may try to go with that as far as being safe.
Yes.
Conservative in your investments goes. So anyhow, yeah, Tata 2. Under the new partnership, they'll develop and produce film and digital content together under Depp's production banner, which is called Infinitum.
Scrotum.
No.
It's a new project.
You know, Johnny and Eddie Scrolling. Vedder sound a lot alike.
A little bit. Really? You're right. Yeah. No, it's the last, second word is spelled N-I-H-I-L. Neil?
And, N-I-H, yeah. N-I- like nihilism.
Yeah, Nile, maybe.
Yeah.
Infinitum Nile.
It's not just a river in Egypt.
No.
It's a good thing you're the spokesperson.
Exactly.
That's right. Clear everything up for us here.
You see that commercial where I bury my cologne in the desert?
Yes.
Even I don't understand it.
Right. Nobody does. But have you seen the one where there's a screen underneath the boat?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree, Johnny. I mean, the fact that that crowd can remain buoyant. That was the screen door. Is just about as porous as you can get.
Yeah, doggy.
I don't think there is a screen door. I think he cuts the boat in half is what happened.
No, he puts a screen door in
what?
The... Yes, he puts a... Run the commercial if you guys can find it. He takes a screen door, puts the what is it? It's like a rubber...
Well, there's flex tape and then flex seal, so I don't know.
He puts the flex seal over the screen door in the bottom of a boat, and I think that's what he's riding in when he says, yeah, dog is. Yeah.
It wasn't queued up.
Yeah, dog is.
Depp stated, in this era... What?
You notice they don't use that for like cancer treatment, you know, pen medicine. Yeah, doggy!
So we're looking at this. Yeah, Steve, sure enough, he sprayed the bottom of the boat, which is a screen door.
That's not the Woo Doggy one.
With this seal. Okay, well, anyway.
Listen, Preston.
Come on. Same goddamn product.
Give
Johnny a break.
It's not the same product, Preston.
Casey, the thrust of it is a man has used a screen door as the bottom of a boat. Whether he says yee doggy or whoa doggy or get along little doggy, it doesn't matter. It's the impressive nature of what it is.
It's not the same product?
Not at all. What is it?
No, Flex. This is Flex
Seal. No,
it's
different.
Flex Seal. It's basically the same product, but it's
made
not
by the same company.
Yeah, where is yee doggy uttered?
That's for Flex Tape. That's
Are you
where
sure?
they.
Yee doggy!
They cut the boat in half. And then they tape it together with flex tape, and then they put a motor on the back of the boat when it says "Woo Doggy."
Apparently, okay. The best way to prove that something is a good product is to turn it into a canoe.
Okay.
Did he just, by the way, flex seal the Hoover Dam by any chance? Because
did they do that?
It looked like he just flex sealed the whole Hoover.
We're gonna blow up the Hoover Dam.
He was driving over it.
Yeah.
In that commercial,
Las Vegas, city of how many millions, could potentially die. We're going to blow apart Hoover Dam and then tape it back together.
So, I don't know. I don't know if you repaired Hoover Dam with
attention, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to blow apart Hoover Dam. Okay, so we are watching the flex tape.
Yep.
All right.
This story was about Johnny Depp.
It was, and I'm going to go back to Johnny Depp.
We can't ignore the impressive nature of what we're witnessing here.
Johnny Depp said...
The guy blew apart the Hoover Dam.
In a statement, he said, in this era of democratized entertainment...
How long did it take him to say that?
Well, there's a few other words in here, too. I admire the imaginative ethos of Andrea and look forward to collaborating together in a liberating, progressive manner that will benefit the principles of our respective entities.
Oh, wait. Just one second here. He is on Hoover Dam, the guy who's in the commercial. Did he tape it? He's just using it.
I think he's using it as an analogy.
Because I think they probably would use concrete or something.
Maybe. A little rebar in there just to make it really strong.
But there was a crack and they needed a quick fix.
Yeah, they would use the tape. All right.
You guys been to Hoover Dam? It's fun.
Many times, yes.
Cool visit. They built a new bridge, though. And so now when you, because you used to have to drive over Hoover Dam to get from Arizona to Nevada. And now there's this new freeway and you can drive over that and barely even acknowledge that the Hoover Dam's there.
Well, that Hoover Dam Bridge was a nightmare because everyone was slowing down and it was a pain in the ass.
Or you could cut a boat in half and then put it together with flex tape and just go across the lake.
Okay. The Daily Show's Trevor Noah is heading back to Netflix next month with a new stand-up special. He's announced a special dubbed Son of Patricia on Netflix, and the show will debut Tuesday, November 20th, for those who are interested.
Is he the first comedy show at the Met? He's one of them.
You know what? I don't know, Nick. I'm not 100% sure.
But he's touring, and he's coming to Philly, and I don't know the exact date, but I think he's the first comedy show.
Bob Dylan is the Sunshine Boys. He's doing that at the...
As the first comedy show?
I don't know. John Oliver's going to be there at the end of December, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Right. Some other good stuff. There's an announcement I have coming up in music news. Mark Knopfler is going to be performing there.
Oh, cool.
They just announced that. You might be interested.
Yeah,
in that,
I'm very excited. I love Mark Knopfler.
All right, and then one last story. Netflix also says it will raise $2 billion by offering bonds to qualified institutional buyers. The debt raised will be used to produce, acquire, and develop content. The streaming giant's annual spending has surged past $12 billion.
Oh, my God.
The amount of content they are generating and the amount of quality content they're generating is amazing.
Yep.
Do you remember little red envelopes in the mail with DVDs in them? And now this entertainment juggernaut.
All right, we are ready to get to clips here, gang. NCIS has reached its 15th season on the air. In this clip, Mark Harmon talks about whether or not he thought that the show would have lasted this long. Here we go.
I think when you do a pilot, you hope the best. I don't know that anybody thinks in terms of that kind of longevity. Once you met the creative forces here, this show has always had a creative footprint. It's been a little different in that there's always a case, but the case doesn't drive the show. It's really about character, and there's humor. And it's something that jumped out different than other things I had read.
Shut up, dummy.
Sounds old.
I love Mark Harmon, and I still have a hard time seeing him in that role because
he plays kind of a dick, right?
For so long, he was just kind of this lovable, fun guy in the roles that he played. And his character's very, very serious.
Yep.
And he doesn't take any crap, and sometimes he's just mean.
He would always hit the guy who plays Bull in the back of the head, right?
That was like a little playful thing. Yeah, he smacks him on the back of the head.
Teabag him.
New episode of NCIS airs tonight at 8 on CBS.
He was an athlete for a while, right? He was a ball player.
He was a quarterback, I think.
Was he a quarterback?
Yeah.
All right, let's do the next clip. Nathan Fillion joined the cast of The Rookie almost immediately after his last project, Castle, signed off. And here Nathan explains how and why he got involved in the project so quickly.
I actually signed on to this project before the script was even written. It's Alexi Howley that I knew from Castle. Mark Gordon, whose success can't be denied. They created for me a fantastic position to be in. One of those things where you just, why would you say no?
I think they actually changed the trajectory of the show, Preston, with his addition. Like, they made it an entirely different show tonally.
Really?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
Are you talking about Castle or this show?
The Rookie.
Okay.
So The Rookie is about an older guy who becomes a rookie cop,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he a firefighter first or something?
I'm not sure, but the impression I got was that when he became available, they decided, let's do it this way.
Okay. The Rookie is on tonight, 10 on ABC. There you go. That's what I got for you this morning, my friend. We have a lot going on. Today's program, we got some guests, we got some giveaways, we got some food, we got a movie. The screening of Bohemian Rhapsody is tomorrow night, and we got to fill up the theater. We have a lot of tickets. I slacked off the last couple of times that we've been on the air.
I'm going to want to hear your review.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is 7:30 tomorrow night at the UA King of Prussia, so let's take another 10 callers, and we will give you those movie passes, 215-263-WMMR. You'll need to be there by 7 o'clock to ensure that you do indeed get a seat. So we'd love to see you there. Actor-director Paul Dano is going to be here this morning talking about the movie Wildlife. There's a screening tonight, by the way, at 6 o'clock at the Film Center. And you can get tickets for that at filmadelphia.org. We're going to have a hottie cam this morning. This October, Samantha's supposed to be here. And our friends from Harvest Seasonal Grill are stopping by. We'll have some giveaways with them and more. Birthday Bucks coming up at 8, man. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
Whether social,
hey, welcome in,
or anti-social,
hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
So there's more excitement with the lottery. Two of them. tonight is Mega Millions, tomorrow's Powerball.
The amount?
Well, it's, you know, the number $1.6 billion has been floating out there, but I was just reading in the story you sent over, Steve, it may go beyond that. And they're not projecting how much further, but you never know, man. It could hit $2 billion.
Absolutely, with the mad rush. Now, and the statistic you had earlier, Kathy, that of all the pickable numbers,
combinations,
or permutations,
yeah, yeah,
75%
of 302 million combinations will be picked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Meaning that they think somebody's going to win tonight.
Yeah. But if they don't.
Oh, my God.
It's staggering. I don't even play, and yet I'm, you know, how can you not help but be fascinated by all this?
Can you get both Jackpot and Mega Millions downstairs in shows?
Yeah.
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 Okay. I got both of them yesterday. Yeah.
Powerball.
Powerball.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I think that there's going to be multiple winners tonight.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
And If that's me, I'm going to be so disappointed that I don't win the whole thing, you know?
I know what you mean, because this big number has been thrown out there, and you've fantasized with it a little bit, and it will make a lick of difference if you only get half of that anyway, but still.
I can't live on $400 million.
Exactly.
But you just want the bragging rights of being the one who won, because somebody, the last time around, was it one person who won?
I don't remember.
When it was $1.2 billion?
I don't
remember. Or was it multiple winners?
I think it might have been more than one, Steve.
Okay.
Marissa?
I was with a family friend last night, and they just put a whole new perspective on this, and they're not able to do this, but they're in maybe the bracket that can think about this, and they said for about $4 million, you could buy every single possible combination.
I don't think that's possible.
No?
No. It's one in 320 million. That's got to mean there's 320 million combinations, right?
Okay. Yeah. Times roughly. Two, so it's 600 million.
Yeah. Whatever. So all you need to do is buy 320 million...
$620 million
lottery tickets, and you're fine.
Yeah.
Whatever, and then you might win a billion.
He's a very smart man, and he said for a couple of million dollars, you could buy every possible combination and then triple your money.
I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
But that's just me. I may be way off.
We're not good at math.
Nick, could you find out all the possible combinations? How many possible combinations are there available?
Because you think then at that point, every investor that had a lot of money would just simply do that.
It would only make sense,
right? Yeah,
to go ahead and
because
do that.
Because a large company.
302 million. So if you there's 302 million, so you got to multiply that times two because you got to include the Mega Millions ball, the extra ball, the final ball.
Yep.
And so there's no way that there's any, this makes any financial
your friend's
sense.
Off by
16 million.
About
300
million. Yeah, about roughly 294 million.
Could they have been talking about Powerball maybe?
No, that's still
the same. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then they lied.
They might have been talking about
them.
The daily number.
Yes. Well,
maybe
thank you
that.
For buying.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You know what? No, here's what you're thinking of, Marissa. If you were to spend $50 million buying scratch-off tickets, you could win a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, you could, possibly.
Here's the deal. If you have the money and the means to buy every single possible mathematical whatever, don't do that. Don't do that for the rest of us.
Why not?
Maybe it's
but here's
savvy
the deal.
Business.
Here's the deal with that.
It's stupid.
You don't have enough time to do
it. You don't.
No one's going to do that.
You don't have enough time to print up that many numbers. Think about hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
You just can't. I don't think it's possible to have the time to do that type of transaction
It's
anyway.
Just a time prohibitive. It's an extraordinary amount of man hours involved. There'd be no way to do it.
So
it'd be illegal, too.
The head of the Mega Millions, the guy who's in charge of this stuff, revealed the very first thing the potential winner should do.
His advice.
His name is Gordon Medinka?
Who cares?
Medinka. That's it. I'm sorry.
Yes. All right. Good job.
Gordon Medinka. Sorry, I had a couple cocktails.
Well, it was a birthday.
And my wife's birthday party. Gordon Medinka. So he said the very first thing that you should absolutely do. What do you guys think it is?
Did you read it?
Go into seclusion.
What's that?
Go ahead, Kathy.
Tell all your family and friends.
Anybody else?
I saw.
Okay, you got to sign the ticket.
You got to sign the ticket.
Oh! See, I would not have thought about that.
The very first thing you do is sign the ticket, and then you keep a low profile.
So do you not sign it when you, why not sign it when you buy it?
I don't know. You probably could.
Okay.
If you haven't done that yet, you should, because essentially... What he said, sign the ticket, and his exact quote is, because keep in mind, that little slip of paper is $1 billion bill.
Right.
Now, he said, you want to secure it, and you also want to be calm. He goes, don't go running to the Today Show the next day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the thing to do would be to, as we know, you'd be an idiot not to get some, go into some seclusion, make sure that you have your, you take some time to ponder your options, having a good financial planner or someone who can give you a trusted source.
That's the first thing Rochelle and I discussed last night. First thing we're doing is calling Kevin McCoy, our financial planner.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin, you're on board, dude. Don't worry about it, but that's the first
person. Let me see that, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We'll call Casey.
Call me. Yeah. I'll do it for half.
Right, yeah.
I'll do it. Whatever he's charging you, I'll cut it in half and I'll do it for you.
All right.
Are you supposed to sign the front or the back, do you know?
I think there's a place to... Well, let me get out my...
Pull it out. I believe it's on the back.
Is this like one of the only things that's not digital that you actually have to have the piece of paper?
Well, I think you do.
You know what I mean?
They will know where the ticket was sold, but they will not know who...
have to have that ticket.
You have to have the ticket, but there's... If you have it signed, that... that will eliminate a vast amount of potential crap because, as Preston pointed out, that will be worth $1 billion plus.
On several spots in the back here, it has name, phone number, address, city, state zip, signature, and email. You can fill those all out. It says heat-sensitive paper. Avoid prolonged exposure to heat or light. Ticket valid only for drawing dates shown east...
east of the Mississippi.
No, no, no. It's on a crease here.
Eastbound and down.
Oh, fast play prizes expire 1 year from purchase date. Draw game prizes expire 1 year from draw date. Void if torn, incomplete, illegible, or altered. Not responsible for lost or stolen tickets.
There you go.
Winning claims subject to official rules and regulations of the Pennsylvania Lottery. Huh. And that's in Middletown, PA, by the way. So, yeah, you can't tear this thing.
Well, listen, with the amount of what it is right now, I would say, hey, what the hell? Fill that out now if you have one.
Yeah.
Hey, also, there are some states where you can remain anonymous, but some states you can't.
True.
Is Pennsylvania one of those states where
depending on which lottery you win.
Okay.
I think that is the case. I don't know about Pennsylvania and the laws regarding whether or not you are allowed to remain anonymous
or not. Wait, why? I'm sure you're correct, but why would you not be able to remain anonymous? Why do you have to give your name?
Part of the rules of the game. I don't know, Kath. But there are places where you have to reveal who you are.
So there are only a select number of states where you can remain anonymous. Delaware, Kansas, Maryland, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, and Texas.
Wait, I think this means remain anonymous all the way through the entire process. In other words...
Forever and ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, so if you bought, all right, so.
So in other words, as you're being paid out, no one can do some forensic work and find out, they allow you to keep that level of anonymity. I don't think you're compelled to come forward and appear on Good Day Philadelphia.
No, but your name, it becomes like part of public record.
And I think maybe in these states or in Delaware, there's some way to protect you against that.
All right, now listen, as a Pennsylvania resident, what if I bought my ticket in Delaware? Would I then be able to remain anonymous?
I think it's where you're a resident. I got to believe that, but
sucker.
Yeah,
and I don't think you have to. Maybe it becomes public record, but you don't have to come and speak publicly.
That I don't.
You need
know,
to Kevin. Appear on 3 morning shows and 4 nighttime talk shows.
So here's another fact that I didn't know.
And Bachelor in Paradise.
Winners in all states. Winners in all states are required to hand over 25% of the money up front. So that's immediate.
All right.
Wow. And that's, a lottery rule. And then come tax time, you're going to owe about 40% more. So, we always talk about.
40%.
Yeah, you're automatically going to be in the top tier tax bracket, which currently is 39.6%. So you're automatically out nearly 65% of it.
Yeah, because 25% goes to who?
To the lottery.
Wow.
Winners in all states are required to hand over 25% of the prize money up front.
And then your tax nut. So 65% out of the current estimated $1.6 billion leaves you with what?
No, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. And then come tax time, the Internal Revenue Service requires winners to make up the difference between their upfront payment and the top tier bracket.
All right, so you're still only paying the going tax rate.
Correct.
All right. All right.
All right. Thank God.
But you do owe that money initially. You know, owe that 25% to taxes initially.
Medenica also advises, get some good advice. Get a good financial...
MC Hammer.
A good financial plan advisor, a good lawyer, a tax accountant, all that. Get your affairs in order. You have between 6 months to 12 months to come and claim the ticket. I guess it depends on which lottery you're playing. And those you've got to absolutely positively cover yourself. Now, when it comes to selecting the special 6 numbers, Medenica, and he's the guy who's in charge of the lottery.
Running the whole thing.
Says it does not matter if they're handpicked or chosen by the machine. He said it's completely random. He said at these levels of jackpot, he said I'd say 90 to 95% are quick pick random numbers. But if you got your favorite number, your birthday and anniversary, go for it, play it.
My gut instinct says to pick for your financial planner someone who looks exactly like you, who is heavily indebted to the Russian mob.
Okay.
I think that would be your safest bet.
All right, but the financial planner, accountant and all of that, and I'm sure that your guy is great, but I would go to somebody who handles way more money on a normal basis.
Well, that's what he would advise me on who to go to.
Okay.
That would be it. And I'm sure he would be a part
of it. Go to me.
He'd be a part of it, but he would go, look, because he's a smart guy and we trust him with everything.
Here's
he would
what
say,
you have to do.
Here's who you want to talk
to. Right, okay.
These people exclusively handle this. Because there are people, that's what they do. They're the lottery experts.
I mean, they know how to handle vast sums of wealth, and many of them are aboard a camouflaged spaceship that orbits Earth. A lot of people don't know.
Listen, they can afford it.
They would have, because they're incredibly wealthy.
Yes.
I was thinking on the way in of, like, all of the people that I would have to take care of. And I know we've had the conversation here at work. But, like, you know, I have such a large family. Because I was thinking if they won. Like, I was thinking of the people in my family. If they won.
They wouldn't do anything for
you. No, like, would they? So then, in return, if I won. And it's a lot of people, you know. So I'm like, it is a lot of money, you know. But,
Kathy, at that point, so give me a rough estimate of all the people in your family that you... You know,
I don't even know.
50 people?
Listen, I have such a large family on both my mom and my dad's side, and we are very extended family. We're close, you know, like some of my best friends are like third cousins.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a large family. There's so many people that you would want to help everybody out. But I was thinking, like, okay, so then are you spending all of the money helping everyone in your family?
Well,
like,
no. Is that solitude time, Preston, time to... kill people.
You have the money.
To make them disappear.
Man, I say this with all my heart, Kath. I hope you don't win. I don't want you. I don't want you to go through all that.
No, it's tough.
That would be such a tiny problem. I would want to help all of those people. Yeah. But, you know, of course, that's why you need a financial planner to know how much you can use to help all these people.
Kathy, well, what you ought to do, I'm sorry to interrupt. It could be like the Ten Commandments where Pharaoh sits at the throne and people come and they present their gifts to him.
Yeah.
No.
And they, yeah, exactly. No. Move along, please.
No.
You didn't entertain me.
With this amount of wealth, you could help as many people as you needed to. Yeah. I wonder who the first person I would hear from that would just be like an obscure person from my past would be. Like that's where my fantasies have gone lately. It's like, all right, who from fourth grade?
Yes. Exactly.
Buddy, pick up.
He does have my number, right, Case? Did you give it to him?
No,
at one point?
I've never given him your number. Okay. I've never given him my number.
Soul Train.
Kathy, I have already sort of created my...
I have
my nucleus, right?
Okay.
And my nucleus is, you know, me, my wife, and my three kids, okay? And then I have created rings around the nucleus, okay? Immediate family, brothers and sisters, mother, and then cousins, and then friends.
Ballpark number of how many people we're talking about.
Oh, God,
I'm not going to require accuracy.
Hundreds.
All right. So would you say 200 people?
Probably.
Okay. So 200 people.
If I can give 200 people $1 million each.
Right.
Dude, how great is that?
That is phenomenal. So that's $200 million.
That's not for my family. I mean, my family, we're talking hundreds of millions for my family.
All right.
And then,
you have
your closest. So that's the thing. Like, I would sit down with a financial planner.
If I made
$900 million, I mean, I could literally keep $500 million and give away $400 million to charity and friends and stuff.
Well, you could use the remaining money and never even touch that money and live luxuriously and then some off the interest.
We had this conversation a little while back. And of course my wife heard it and I came home and she goes, by the way, she goes, we ain't committing to S. And I love you. That's what, she's like, do you know how much trouble people have gotten into by offhandedly saying things and then all of a sudden they actually win? They're like, oh my God.
Well,
I actually have to do this now. Mm-hmm. And legal problems happen and you spend your life in court.
And that raises another issue, which is the other article I sent over, Preston, about concerns about office pools and office groups going in on lottery tickets.
Yeah, I'll read that in just a second.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the coolest stories that I remember was, I think it was SEPTA workers, and one of their group, whoever the group was left out.
Yes.
In on it, but they ended up giving him money.
Yeah,
$100. Which I thought was, I thought that was cool. Like, one guy was left out. You know what I mean? You have to, and they shared with him.
Well, this is the self-professed lottery lawyer, a guy named Jason Kerr. And he basically says you got to keep this out of the workplace. He said, I know it's the way of the world and it's good for camaraderie. He said, but I don't like the office pools one bit. He said, if they're not done correctly, they can end in litigation and really be a nightmare for everyone involved. Without properly firming up who's playing and what numbers are involved, you could wind up like New Jersey construction worker Americo Lopez, whose five colleagues took him to court over a $24 million Mega Millions lottery win in 2009. The hard hat tried to claim that the jackpot was won on a personal ticket, but after a lengthy court battle, he had to cough up $20 million.
And how much did he win?
$24 million.
So he only kept $4 million of it? And did he have to give it to them?
That's a lot of money.
That's still a staggering amount of money.
That's a lot of money to turn over. Kirkland suggests common sense precautions. He said you need to put something in writing, like Nick had said the other day, that clearly shows what the numbers are for everyone.
They showed a, there was a guy, I guess they were talking to on the news, who went through the elaborate process of getting from everyone a signed document and then taking pictures of the lottery tickets he had purchased.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there's a woman downstairs who we work with who I haven't heard from her lately, but she would always organize.
She made an announcement the other day.
Did she? Okay. Yeah. So she would organize that. But again, yes, here, because, you know, here's a picture of all of the numbers that are our numbers. Because, for instance, on, what was that, Friday, when we gave away all those tickets.
Yes.
I bought my own personal tickets as well. So but luckily, where I purchased my tickets, I didn't purchase them at Cho's. You know, I got them somewhere else. But I did think for a second, I'm like, oh, what if somebody, anybody, thinks that I took one of these numbers.
You pilfered one of those that we were going to give away?
Yeah.
It wouldn't
it wouldn't matter,
but
because
if someone wants to get litigious about this stuff,
yeah,
when the impetus is millions of dollars, you'll go for anything.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go to some comments on a few of the things we've been talking about. I'm going to go to Ian, who is a CPA, talking about what goes to the lottery, maybe some incorrect information. Hi, Ian. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. You're killing me.
Well, I corrected what I said, Ian. Did you hear that part?
Yeah, I did. 25% goes to the Fed, the IRS.
Okay.
Not to the lottery. The lottery already has their money.
Okay. So
you're going to give 25% to the IRS, and depending on which state you live in, like Pennsylvania, you'll give 3% to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And then when tax time comes, you'll shore up with them, with the Fed. So and the state you're good with, because it's a flat tax.
Okay. Ian, wouldn't it also be wise to give Paulie his tribute, like in Goodfellas?
Yeah.
No,
he gets his 2%.
He gets his 2%. So by the time you then your 25% off the top is figured as part of your federal tax payout, right? So right off the top, it's basically just a down payment.
Exactly, because and the top tax rate now is 37%, not 39.6%.
All right. So let me ask you a question, Ian.
Not according to the article I'm reading right in front of my face.
We'll do our best.
Yeah.
All right.
Suppose, Ian, I want to give away $100 million to family and friends and stuff like that. Can I pay taxes on that right off of the bat so that when I when I gift all this money, nobody that is getting this gift has to pay any taxes on it?
No matter how much you give, no matter when it is, the person receiving the money does not pay tax. You, as the giftor, pay the tax up front.
So when you give a gift of cash over a certain amount to people, I always understood, and thank you if this is not the case, that the recipient then is responsible for paying taxes on that amount.
The recipient is responsible for $0 in tax.
All right, kidding. All right.
The money.
Now we're talking.
Tax on a gift tax return.
Ian, is that unlimited? You can be gifted by all kinds of people, and or is there a certain amount that you can receive before you have to tax?
You can receive the amount of money that's in the U.S. Treasury.
Wow.
Anything you want to give?
I want to play that game.
Yeah.
I want to play U.S. Treasury.
But Ian, what's the what's the $10 million? I'm sorry.
The $11 million is the amount that you can give away without being taxed.
Okay.
Okay.
And what? The amount you can give away without having to file a gift tax return is $15,000 per person per year.
Okay. All right. I got you. So that's tax free. You can gift $15,000 per person per year without being taxed on it.
Right. The recipient never pays.
Interesting. All right, Ian. Thanks for the heads up, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. You guys rock.
See you later.
Thank you.
Casey, I want to go back to what Steve had said a moment ago. If you did win, and I'm going to play with your money, not mine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Would you,
I got plenty to go around.
Would you fund the Lauer Civic Center? Build that for him, maybe?
Oh, man.
You know, in Juniata
Park. Ladies and gentlemen, when we first started work on this incredible Civic Center,
I thought I would never be able to complete it, but Casey Foster was able to step up and provide me funding.
I have to say no, Preston. Okay. I will not.
All right.
So when he says it's his house, it'll be his house.
Yeah.
I have a penthouse.
Let me go to, now Tom says don't sign the back of the ticket.
What? Don't sign, because,
because I want it.
All right, let's hear Tom's reason.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning, guys. Hey, if you do not sign the back of the ticket, there is a way then to stay anonymous, even in all of the states where you have to be identified.
Really?
Why? Okay, how do you do that?
You can set up a trust and have it paid, you know, and have the winner be the trust.
Now,
there was a woman up in New England within the last year or two that signed the ticket, then didn't want to be identified
and
set up the trust. But because she signed the ticket, she was the one that was identified as the winner.
You're right.
Filed a lawsuit and all of that. So
yeah.
Don't sign it. Just keep it safe. And then that way, if you don't want to be identified, you can go through a lawyer and set up a trust.
Tom, she fought it in court, I believe. And did she lose, or did the court find in her favor?
I think the court found in her favor, but I'm not sure about
that. Okay, I remember it was kind of a protracted legal battle. He's right, because she signed it. I would think, though, if you lose the ticket and it's a winner, or I don't know.
There is a bit of a risk, but
yeah.
It's just a way to stay anonymous if you so choose.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. What? First thing I would do would be get a safe deposit box and put it in there. I wouldn't even put it in.
Bury it in the field.
I'd go to a bank and get a safety deposit box and put it in there.
Okay, so you don't go immediately to...
You can.
To, like, say, hey, I have the ticket?
But first you want to discuss with financial people how do we handle this? Because you may have to, they may reveal who you are right away, and you haven't made your plans yet.
You'd want to head over to Camden and walk around and say, I have a winning lottery ticket. It's not signed. What do I do with this?
I just want to get it out of my hands as quick as possible so that I didn't lose it. Didn't happen to it.
Putting it in a safe deposit box would actually be a good idea. You need to regroup if you win and take a breather. There are people who act too rashly and end up paying for it, though they're incredibly wealthy and can afford it at that point.
So the reason for staying anonymous, is that solely because you don't want all these people coming forward asking you for things? Is that the reason?
It's one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because it'll be overwhelming. And as Nick said, you don't know who's going to come out of the woodwork. What person is going to crawl up from your past and say, hey!
I've always dreamed of having a civic center.
I didn't know if there was another reason, on top of that one.
I don't think so.
What would you guys change about, your private? Would you move? Would you change your phone number? Would you change your mailing address? How would you protect yourselves?
I have to say, so on a level of protecting yourself or just not your general life?
Well, I'm just curious, again, going back to, who am I going to get a text from? You know what? What person from
me?
But I'm calling you and letting you know. You guys are good.
I guess this is a good sign that in my life, I'm pretty happy where I am.
Me too. But these are still hypotheticals.
But you're talking about the hypothetical of also avoiding being now on the radar of everyone for any reason who's coming after you for money.
Well, I think what you do is you shut off. Here's what I would do, Nick, probably. Shut off all communication. Everything.
Okay.
Phone number, the whole deal. Change it all up.
Can you keep your Twitter account?
Retain. I would reach out to the people that are most important to me and let them know, hey, this happened.
I am so deeply touched.
I want to let you know about it, and... we're going to have fun together. What I mean?
Yeah.
You are a part of this. It doesn't mean I'm going to give you millions of dollars, but...
I just want you to know we're going to have fun together. You're going to be working for me. And if you consider pruning hedges fun, you're going to have a blast.
I hope you like getting coffee.
You operate one of those large feather fans? Then you are going to have some fun, buddy.
I read an article not that long ago about what that level of wealth allows you. And, it's not like you go... you don't go to the ATM anymore. It's not... You have $1 billion or whatever the level of money is, but it's not... You are so changed in how you approach finances. And I think about my credit card bills and my mortgage and whatever.
Listen...
And all of that changes at that level of wealth. It changes dramatically.
It frees you from those things, and I get it. I have to say, and maybe this is crazy... There is a level of fear of that level of Oh, yeah.
Of that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Chris,
am I a lunatic for being that way?
I would find a respectable financial planner, somebody who would handle all that stuff, and I'd be up front and say, listen, you can even rip me off a little bit if you want to. Just take care of all my stuff.
Oh, I used to call it the Colonel Tom Parker wealth. I want to be Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis wealthy so that Colonel Tom Parker was able to rob Elvis blind and he was still able to send a jet to go get fried nanner sandwiches from Vegas.
That's right. That's right. Here, Kathy, here's another reason to stay anonymous. Somebody had texted and said several winners have been murdered for their money random people because... Jeez. They knew that they were the ones that won the lottery. So that's another, you know, protection is another thing. You might have to hire some security.
I won $80 once on a lucky scratch-off game.
Wow.
And I thought that was pretty awesome. I said, I'm done.
My buddy won like $600 at the racetrack one night.
Oh, really?
At the horse track, we were together. We thought it was all the money in the world. Dude, we're going to every bar tonight.
Do you consider that?
One drink at every single bar.
Let me ask you, do you consider that more along the line of earning the money because you're actively assessing?
Nah.
It's still
it's
just
still,
luck.
It's, I like the name of that horse. Let's go with that one.
All right.
I
met a guy that won 40 or 45 grand take home in the lottery one time.
Wow.
It was pick six or something that. He went out, bought himself a new truck, and was happy. That was all he needed, you know? And that's what he wanted. That's what he got. And he didn't have to worry about the payments anymore. And so, that level of winning is pretty damn cool, too.
I hear you.
I'm going to go to another call real quick, and then we're going to have to take a break because we do have money to give away ourselves.
We do.
It's $1,000. It ain't a billion.
It's a start.
It's nice. You could go buy lottery tickets.
Go buy $1,000 worth of lottery tickets.
But I will go to Mary Beth, who runs a very detailed lottery pool at her work. I assume this is at her work when the jackpot gets high. Good morning, Mary Beth.
Hello.
So is this at work that you run this lottery pool?
Yes, it's at work.
How many people involved?
It ranges anywhere from 20 to 30, depending.
Okay, that's decent.
And I write everyone's name down that participates. I make a copy of all the tickets, and I send the scans out to everyone. And then when I go and I read them all, if there's any money that's won, I will use that money to buy new tickets. And if no one participates, or if someone doesn't participate in the next one, I will say so-and-so can win from one of these winning tickets, but he did not participate in the new one, so he will not be part of the new tickets. And people just go, they're probably listening right now. Hi, Melissa.
Well, Mary,
that already sounds confusing.
Mary Beth, let me ask you, did you elect or did you offer to be this overseer?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
I.
Okay.
And then when I don't do it, I feel bad. I'm just, and I used to keep envelopes for everyone because people travel and all of that.
God.
But
that's an entire occupation unto itself.
My desk, so I gave everyone's money back.
All right.
But now I go, you need to come find me.
So,
and if you find me, you're in it. If you don't find me, you're not in it.
So you leave it on them. But Mary Beth, do you, as the runner of this pool, do you have a certain commission in mind or something, some sort of stipulation in that regard? No,
you
so
should.
It's even money.
Absolutely.
You should, and also you should stipulate in your agreement. Is it just a verbal agreement that says if you have to come find me, or is that written in some sort of?
If we win, obviously, I tell them to meet me at Philadelphia International Airport. At the United Terminal on the next plane to Cabo.
Right, yeah. But I mean, you don't want that spelled out, I think, and it's what Preston's talking about in this article with these office bulls. Oh, if you're going to do that.
I guarantee somebody, if you hit it, would say,
you didn't let me know.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was sick. I got sick. An old friend came in from out of town. Mm-hmm. My car had a flat. You know, the whole.
Everybody gets an email.
Okay. Right, how many people were we talking about?
I didn't
about,
get
Mary
the
Beth?
Email.
Yeah.
How many people we talk?
20 to 30.
20 to 30 people. It'll depend.
So,
I mean, right now I think I have about 25 people and probably about $85 in my envelope.
Mary Beth,
I'm going
to be honest,
another office today to get more money.
Do me a favor, Mary Beth. Please listen to what we're saying and what this guy says. Make sure that what you do when you do this, make sure you get a signed piece of paper back from everyone concerning the rules of participation, because as Preston points out, and as this lawyer points out, if when you're talking potentially millions and millions of dollars, people will come after you. So just protect you.
I know.
You're doing all this hard work,
just the fact that you sent an email, they can say they never got it.
Yeah. All right. Good luck to you, Marybeth.
Yeah. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I wonder what the difference is in percentage and your odds of buying one lottery ticket, one single play, versus maybe a few hundred, which is what Mary Beth is going to be. It's got to be nominal, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In that case,
insanely nominal.
I wonder where you what number you have to, where you really start to see the percentage or the odds start to shift. Yeah, as ridiculous as that sounds,
well, it'd be over 50%.
More favorable, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's one out of 302 million, which is the number of combos we were talking about earlier, then it's just percentage wise, it's nominal until you get into the millions.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I always hear of, I think it's always groups that win. Like, you hear that more than individual people winning all of the money.
I don't know if it's more.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, it's on. And tonight is the $1.6 billion. It could go beyond that and over $620 million for Powerball. That's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're saying the $1.6 could escalate up to $2 billion.
Maybe. We'll see about it.
I'm going to go downstairs and get my tickets now, should. So I don't forget.
I think you should.
Can you get me a blank VHS tape, too, while you're down there?
Yeah, and you want a diamond ring?
Everything. Some pantyhose.
Diamond ring.
Yeah. You got it.
Straight stunting for me.
Yeah, straight stunting, please. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back.
And
in a moment, we're going to get to the $1,000 giveaway for our birthday bucks. And Bizarre File is coming up, too. And our friends from Harvest are here.
I should
give away a gift card for Harvest right now. Harvest Seasonal Grill and Wine Bar. And I have a, let me see, Case, what do we have? I don't know what we have as far as giveaways go.
Yeah, me neither.
We'll give you something from Harvest.
Yes.
If you're calling number 8.
50.
A $50 gift card. Thank you. 215-263-WMMR. Their fall menu has returned. Favorites like pear and blue flatbread, butternut squash soup, pumpkin tortellini, and braised short ribs are back. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Here we go.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join the MM Army Thursday from 7 to 9 as the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over Doc's Irish Bar, 1080 East Philadelphia Avenue in Gilbertsville. Catch the game and win Eagles tickets, an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light, and Bud Light Philly Special T-shirts. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood. MMR and the Franklin Institute have teamed up to send you to Rock Like a Viking. Go to WMMR.com for your chance to win a trip to the Roskilde Festival in Denmark. Want a true-to-life Viking experience? Go to the Franklin Institute's Vikings Beyond the Legend exhibit. Tickets and info at fi.edu.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Friends from Harvest Seasonal Grill are here this morning, and I have another gift card to give to you.
Woohoo!
Let's take caller number 20, and I'll give you a $50 gift card, and you can book your holiday party now at Harvest. You can choose from a free champagne toast, a local cheese board, or a $10 Harvest gift card for each guest at these holiday parties.
Pretty so Harvest, cool deal. Clearly one of my favorite restaurants, but the thing they have now is the Impossible Burger. I just tried the Impossible meatloaf. Meatless meatloaf. Yoo-hoo. Really good.
Really
damn
liked
good.
It?
Yeah, I nice. Loved it. Yeah,
I had the seasonal organic hummus.
Seasonal organic hummus.
I just had some a little while ago. It was fantastic.
I'm curious about your seasonal organic hummus.
And it hit the spot.
I am as well.
You like hummus?
I love it.
Okay. So we thank them for being here.
My nipples.
Why, even Dave McGrogan is here this morning.
Yes, he is.
Owner and operator. We got to do the Bizarre File, so let's go ahead.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Armor, Metals, and Recycling. In any of the construction trades, well, then Armor, Metal, and Recycling. Armor Metals, I'm sorry, pays top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, and peripheries. 8300 National Highway in Pensauken, or you can call 856-665-5715. An Arkansas woman dressed as a cow had a bit of a beef with a Pine Bluff police officer after being arrested on a shoplifting charge on Tuesday. 27-year-old Ashley Curry was caught on surveillance camera trying to steal a package of Flonase from a Walmart.
Yeah, cows use that.
An officer watched her as she decided to take off dressed in a cow costume with pink udders. And after Curry was detained and was being searched by officers, she allegedly stuck out her stomach, and the cop said, quote, told me I could suck a pink cow udder. Okay. One of the arresting officers has said that the officer did not take Curry up on her offer, and she was charged with shoplifting and resisting arrest. Smashing Pumpkins might be a great name for a rock band, but it's not something you should do in a Walmart store. Yet that's exactly what happened in the Walmart just outside of Shippensburg on Thursday night. Trooper Scott Dojka had reported that he was called to the store to deal with a man who was in the store smashing pumpkins. The man also had damaged a wheelchair and attacked a store employee. The suspect had then been tackled by customers. It appeared the 26-year-old man was intoxicated and under the influence of some kind of unknown substance as well. The officer said the man was taken to the hospital for evaluation and charges are pending. The value of the smashed pumpkins was $88.
$88.
Yep. How about this? A man has been stoned to death by a group of rogue monkeys who threw bricks at him from a tree.
Wow. Monkeys were throwing bricks at him from a tree.
Yeah.
And what caused them to get so irate?
Darren Paul Singh, who is 72 years old, suffered head and chest injuries in the attack and was later pronounced dead in the hospital. Mr. Singh was collecting pieces of dry wood when the group of monkeys launched their attack on him Thursday. Unprovoked, Steve. It's believed the monkeys had armed themselves with bricks they had collected earlier from a rundown building.
Using them as weapons.
Yeah, villagers have repeatedly complained that aggressive monkeys in the area have made their lives hell, but the animals
I need to tell you something. The bricks have been a game changer.
But the animals are a protected species, so little can
so
be
suck
done.
It.
Mr. Singh's brother
suck out orange monkey asses.
Said that monkeys threw more than 20 bricks at Dharampal on Thursday. He said thrown from quite a height, the bricks were enough to kill him. These rogue monkeys are the real culprits, he said, and they must pay for it.
That's amazing.
Mr. Singh's chilling. Yeah, Mr. Singh's family has lodged a formal complaint and named monkeys as the accused, but police insisted they cannot prosecute monkeys and have declared Mr. Singh's death was an accident.
Oh, because of some loophole. You can't bring a monkey into court?
Deadly attacks by monkeys have been on the rise throughout the country, and wildlife experts say that the rhesus macaques are usually to blame, although it's not clear which breed attacked Mr. Singh.
Mr. Chim Chim, I couldn't help but notice that you're a monkey.
Yes, I am.
I
understand you collect bricks.
Yes, I do.
Back in 2007, the deputy mayor of India's capital of Delhi died after being attacked by a horde of wild monkeys.
With bricks as well?
Mr. Bajwa suffered serious head injuries when he fell from the first floor terrace of his home trying to fight them off. No, They were just going hand to hand. And listen to this, Steve. In a bid to curb the monkey...
Krav macaque.
In a bid to curb the monkey problem,
yes,
the city employed larger, more ferocious langur monkeys to go after the smaller groups
and
of
rhesus monkeys. And so it begins.
Yes, the escalation.
I understand you have a problem with macaques. I'm a langur. We can take care of this, but it'll cost you.
The city has also employed...
Our langur problem has gotten out of hand. Where do we go now? I'm going to recommend gorillas.
Yes. The city has employed...
But gorillas and tanks.
This is the beginning of the Planet of the Apes.
It is the beginning of the Planet of the Apes. How soon before Caesar shows up?
The city has also employed monkey catchers to round them up so that they can be moved to forest. Culling, actually, though, is seen as unacceptable to devout Hindus who revere monkeys as a manifestation of the monkey god Hanuman and often feed them bananas and peanuts.
Oh, that's adorable. Until they start chucking bricks at your head.
Yes. All right. A 16-year-old crashed into a utility pole Friday because a spider had dropped down on his face while he was driving.
Yeah.
The spiders.
You ever have a spider in the car come down like that?
I haven't had a spider. I've had like a bee or something in the car, and then you freak out a little bit.
You become a 9-year-old girl.
The spider's surprise appearance caused the teen to become distracted. The teen veered off the right side of the road. He was not injured. His 1993 GM Sierra sustained disabling damage and had to be towed away from the scene.
Spider.
No word on the condition of the spider. Police cited the teen for careless driving, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The worst thing I ever had in my car was a kitten because I had just taken her from the vet and I had her in a little carrier.
Got out?
And no, she was crying. She was like, meow, meow. I was like, oh, you poor little thing. And I let her out. And then she climbed underneath the gas and brake pedals.
They go under the pedals.
You have to be. You can't do that. People find out. They're trying to be kind and give them a little space to roam around.
Yeah.
When they go down in that well.
everybody's in trouble.
Yeah, you're in a bad way.
A driver in Massachusetts had called a roll. This isn't the first time a spider's been an issue. A driver in Massachusetts called a caused a rollover crash in July after she noticed a spider on her leg and got scared. In her panic, she clipped two parked cars, which caused her car to flip on its roof. And a spider also reportedly caused a rollover in Oregon by suddenly dropping from the rearview mirror. The driver suffered a minor scratch on her hand when that car...
A jelly donut fell from the rearview mirror.
On a thread.
All right, and then we'll do one more story. This is pretty funny. I saw the picture of this. An unfortunate groom-to-be gave tourists in Benidorm, which is a town, and I don't know where it is, quite an eyeful. The helpless stag was discovered strapped naked to a tree, wearing nothing but a pair of pink sunglasses. And it appears that he fell victim to a classic prank involving rolls upon rolls of saran wrap.
Oh, okay.
And so they wrapped him around. You could see right through it, dude. He was completely naked. You see all of it. His buddies even laid out a hat on the ground so that tourists could tip him. The hungover man seemed to take things in good spirits as people posed for selfies next to him and made sure that he kept hydrated after a boozy night out. He could even be heard shouting that it was €3 per photo at one point. The unidentified Brit was put on display outside of a tattoo parlor. The stunt was met with a mixed reaction from locals and tourists. Some people said that it was just another example of their fears that Benidorm is becoming a new Magaluf.
It is becoming a new Magaluf.
Isn't it the new Magaluf? And that's,
I know a lot of the people in Bangalore. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Bangalore. Yeah.
Gryffindor.
In Gryffindor. And it's spreading over to Slanistan.
Yeah.
All right. And there you go. That's
where Dorf comes from.
That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Hey, let's get some more people on board to go see this movie, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
We have a screening of it tomorrow night at the UA King of Prussia. The movie starts at 7:30, but you need to be there at 7 o'clock. Freddie Mercury in all his glory.
It's basically the lead up to the production of A Night at the Opera, right?
I don't know.
I think that's the...
Oh, no. I think it's... you mean the film?
Yeah.
It's to the performance of Live Aid, I think.
Is it to Live Aid? Okay.
Yeah, that's what it culminates with, yeah.
So 215-263-WMMR. I slacked on handing these out. I apologize. So we're going to take 10 callers. And we're going to put you on our list and get you on board. So give us a call right now. Director and actor Paul Dano is going to be here. He is in town.
Very cool.
For a screening of the film Wildlife. And it's at 6 o'clock tonight at the Film Center. And you can go to filmadelphia.org. Still part of the Philadelphia Film Society.
Yes, it is.
Event that's going on, the festival that's taking place. So you can be a part of it. And usually involves a Q&A. We'll ask him if that's the case of it tonight or not. So he's stopping in around 9 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. Come back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Preston and Steve. 93.3 WMMR.
So we have our hottie cam on, the lovely Samantha.
Yeah.
Miss October from our 2018 Totally Office calendar. And said hello to her in the green room as we were getting ready to go. And her mom brought her this.
Oh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, October is a coveted month because many of the calendar girls want it because of the Halloween connection.
That's
so
true. You know,
Lauren Harris always used to want October.
It's a popular request.
Yes.
No question.
I'm pretty sure that everything that Samantha's done a lot with us over the past year, but that her parents come to each event, I think, just to make sure.
It's on the up and up?
That we are not doing anything inappropriate. Yes.
We're too tired to do anything.
I know. And Steve, I'm the same way.
Forget about it. I want to go home and play video games.
Yeah. All right. We also have a listener, Kurt, who's getting a tattoo for Tattoos Day. He's getting a special Metallica tattoo today.
Oh, awesome.
Which is pretty cool. So we'll check on that a little bit later on. And actor, director Paul Dano is going to be here in a little bit to talk about his film Wildlife, his directorial debut. Casey left.
He's handling business actually concerning England.
Well, the reason being is because of the time difference.
Yes.
In order to get some work done for booking things, you need to call now because you're 5 hours ahead of us.
It's challenging.
We're six hours ahead of us.
We're trying to set up a bunch of interesting guests. Well, 6 hours one day, 5 hours the next, or five hours one day and 6 days, because there is a time change this weekend, not here, but in London. But anyway, yeah, it's been challenging getting in touch with some people over there, and phone calls take time and effort as well.
Well, goodness, because of the time shift, Preston, we will be able to get Benny Hill on the show, even though he passed away years ago.
Several years ago. Well, that's amazing. I didn't know it worked that way.
Yeah.
It's always nice. A lot of wonderful little surprises you find
out. It's amazing.
Because the reason being is I was going to do the... Oh, wait, I found it.
What?
Who? I found it.
What?
The Noticer music.
Oh, my God. Oh, well,
Casey good. Runs all the music beds.
Casey went away.
Yeah.
But Preston, the Noticer, was able to find the Noticer music. In effect, he noticed the Noticer music.
I've noticed...
He's noticed.
As of late, the number of beautiful-looking jack-o'-lanterns that are around and on display right now as we're getting ready for Halloween.
The jack-o'-lantern state-of-the-art has taken a quantum leap forward.
They're fantastic.
Yes.
With the special carving tools and so yes. forth where you can get it down to the...
I'm interested in some special carving tools.
Where you can get it down to the pulp and everything and actually have the light shine through.
Yes. Yes.
It looks pretty cool. And Kathy, you had a really cool one. Did you make this one? I saw a picture on Instagram.
I did. So I made this for a party, and it was actually a pumpkin carving party. So we did the larger pumpkins as well.
It's a small pumpkin. You carved a face in it with a big wide mouth, and it's puking guacamole out of its mouth
right,
into
yes.
the dip tray. That's cute. Did you come up with that, or did you see that somewhere?
I found it on Pinterest.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's usually a neighborhood Halloween party. We're not going to be able to get to it because we're doing the London thing. But there's a pumpkin carving contest. And before we would go to that, and I wouldn't go to win. I would just go to have fun and create a cool jack-o'-lantern.
Right.
But I would always look up stuff online for design because I'm not very creative when it comes to coming up with a cool thing. I found some really good ones. And then once you draw it on there, the carving part is not that difficult. But to get a really good idea, I usually have to steal from somebody else.
As an artist, and I can draw, so I can do – I've yes. always been, you know, fairly good with that stuff. The level of art on those ones that basically become lamps where they're lit from inside and the mm-hmm. image glows through the pumpkin, the thin carved out pumpkin,
yeah.
those are amazing. But what they're doing now also is the attachments a la Mr. Potato Head type stuff.
Yep. Yes.
So they have, I bought.
Teeth.
They're glowing the dark fangs
yeah.
for the pumpkin. They look awesome.
Yeah. yeah.
So they have, you know, the little booklets where you can have the, you know, the different designs in there. But what I found was pretty cool this year was, you rip it out of the book and you tape it onto the pumpkin and you use this tool to just kind of poke holes in. So it's like little circles and you just poke holes. But it starts the whole carving process. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to peel that off and Jace was actually able to carve the larger pumpkin. Like it wasn't too difficult for him because
a little easier for little kids.
Yeah. Cause I had already done part of it,
which is important and brings me to the reason I brought this up in the first, that I noticed this in the first
the
place.
Noticer noticed something that's, I assume, a safety issue. Notice
it is.
It is.
Yes. Nearly 32. This is according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission nearly 3,200 of the 16,706 Halloween-related injuries in U.S. emergency departments were caused by carving pumpkins. So
you mean fingers lost and massive cuts and
yeah.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so there are specific tools you can use.
I remember my dad, carving with the butcher knife from our kitchen.
Yes. Kathy, we used, we were using box cutters. And it's part of the deal. Honestly, it's really not a pumpkin carving party if someone doesn't bleed out, yeah. right?
But you know what? There's pumpkin carving kits. The tools that they give you are great, but they're not sturdy.
Well,
the blades themselves are exactly what you need, but the handles.
I agree.
Suck.
You got to be selective with them. Some yeah. are cheaper than others.
Yeah.
I found some that are pretty decent, but I know the ones you're talking about. You go in and it bends or it snaps and then you're screwed.
I get all my stuff from the Mossad, Preston, and really sharp.
They got great ones.
Yeah.
But Case, I think they do. I'm sure if you go online, you can find a higher tier or better quality carving kit.
Okay. So here's my wife and I have a differing opinions on. I think you can get more creative with a medium to smaller pumpkin
than the large one.
The process involved with a large pumpkin of gutting a large pumpkin,
that part sucks.
Yes, and then eventually I think the large pumpkin will start to implode quicker because of its lack of structural integrity.
Yeah, when it starts to rot.
Right.
By the way, if you don't carve the pumpkin, it can sit out for a couple of months and not rot. But you know how once you cut it open, mm-hmm. it rots pretty damn quick.
Yeah, yeah. Or yeah. the squirrels make it a condominium complex.
Yeah.
What we did with ours was we cut the bottom of it. So you know how sometimes it, like you said, it rots
and then
the, you know, the top will kind of sink in. So hopefully we'll get a little more time out of this. But a lot of people were asking me, I put up an Instagram story over the weekend at this pumpkin carving party. Obviously we were carving, but for the little girls, they took buckets of water and they poured nail polish in the water, and when you stick, they got the white pumpkins, and when you stick the white pumpkins in, all of the nail polish just clings to the pumpkin.
Oh, cool.
So it was decorated that way. Yeah, so it was kind of easy.
Slutty pumpkins.
The younger
That's
kids.
Cool.
Yeah, it turned out awesome.
When you cut the top of the pumpkin, do you...
You have to marry it.
Do you put a key in there?
A key?
Yeah, you cut a little notch.
I do.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
So that way when you put it back on, it goes on the exact same
Same
way
spot.
That you cut it.
Yeah.
So you go,
make it like a little angle.
Yeah, sort. a little angle like this, yeah. And that way it goes every time. It's like you know, you have a special
it's pumpkin
lug wrench for one of your anyway. But yeah, it fits properly.
Fits.
I always called that the key.
So we're looking at what Kathy did here in the process, Preston, involving the.
Yeah.
That is so awesomely cool, and that's nail polish and water.
That's all it is.
How expensive though is it? To go use all that nail polish?
No, you get it at the dollar store.
Okay, so you get really cheap nail polish.
Yeah,
Kathy,
I like that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So
one of my fall activities.
Sorry, I messed
that
up.
One more time.
Yes. Okay.
Fall activities.
One more time.
All right. One more time.
Fall activities.
So the nail polish will float on the top of the water.
Yeah.
And then it just sucks right onto the pumpkin.
Yep.
Yes, and now it looks like a tie-dyed pumpkin is what it looks like.
If you're going to do this, I will say use more nail polish than you think you need because it kind of shrinks up a little bit.
Okay,
I gotcha.
And you're saying you should probably do it with open flames all over the place?
No, I didn't say that. No, that was never said.
This is a great idea. Go ahead.
No, I tried to do something similar at Easter time with Easter eggs and shaving cream and...
The shaving cream sticks to the Easter eggs.
Well, yeah.
Really?
So, what you're supposed to try and do the same thing, and my kids got a little bit too liberal with the mixing and everything, and so it didn't look as good. But it kind of gives this tie-dyed look to it.
So, okay.
I love the internet for this stuff.
In this case, though, you would, Kathy, you're dealing more with the smaller gorge. You're not dealing
yes.
with the full,
right.
full on. 20-pound pumpkin.
Yeah, because there were young kids there. So yeah.
But you could do a large one if you have a big enough barrel and enough...
And enough nail polish?
Nail polish.
Use the same device you deep fry your turkeys in.
You could do that. I like that, man.
What are we looking at here? Oh, is this what you did, Casey?
This is the shaving cream and dye.
Yep.
For Easter.
Holy hell.
Oh, my God.
It's awesome. Wait till you see what
it's
it
really
looks like.
Really cool.
Yep.
And so you put the eggs in. I'm sorry, we're watching.
I know, we're geeking out here.
We've never seen this before. And is that regular Easter egg dye they're using?
Regular case? Easter egg dye, like just, you know, food coloring or whatever.
And did this work for you?
Well, it worked for me, but when I let my kids do it, it didn't work as well.
Okay. So
because, like, they mixed it up too much in the...
So it just was a brown egg.
Exactly.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah,
you need to make swirls in it and not make a whole...
That's really cool.
So I want to see the finished product.
Yeah, come on. Speed it up,
with
you
this
bastards.
Already.
With this dumbass thing.
Right.
How do you get to that? Whoa.
I guess you rinse it off. All right, listen. Yes. Be careful.
Be careful.
Cutting your pumpkin.
From the noticer.
That is correct. I noticed something else.
Try to retain all of your digits.
I am.
It's the advice of the noticer.
I noticed we got a long flight ahead of us on Thursday.
It's 32 hours.
No, it's not 32 hours.
How long is it?
Is it about 6 hours, 7 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Somewhere in that range. But it could very well take you longer to hear this story than it would to ride on the world's shortest scheduled passenger flight. Logan Air, a Scottish regional airline, holds the title thanks to its itinerary between Westray and Papa Westray, which are two of the Orkney Islands located north of Great Britain.
Welcome aboard and thank you for flying.
The flight, which travels 1.7 miles, lasts about 1.5 minutes in the air.
No.
That's wild. What? So the beverage service is really quick.
Yeah.
The two shortest flights...
Open your mouth.
Yeah.
Spray.
I took a flight from Miami to Key West. That's only about 20 minutes or so. And then one time I went to France and I took a flight from Philly to New York where they most of the people got on the plane. And that was so it was a 747 that took off from Philadelphia, landed at JFK, and then went from JFK to Paris. But that flight from Philly to JFK... 10 minutes? I don't know.
No kidding.
It was so... I mean, you're barely in the air, and then you land.
Shortest flight I've taken was Oahu to Maui.
Okay.
And that was maybe...
Was it a jet?
30 minutes. Yeah, it was a full-size passenger jet.
Oh, so a full-size passenger... We're not talking like a Piper Cub if you're taking a full-size jet. So the...
Yeah, and that was... Maybe it was less than 30 minutes.
Like Allegheny, remember Allegheny Airlines, the puddle jumpers, the smaller ones. I'm trying to think what the shortest one was. It might have been like one of those from like MacArthur Airport to Long Island to Boston or whatever.
Well, I went to Boston from here.
This cost you $22. for this.
Where is
pipe.
The money?
It's, yeah.
Who wants to? I.
It's 1.7 miles.
On the left of the plane is pretty much what people are seeing on the right side of the plane. We're landing now.
45 minutes is how long it took me to get to Boston.
Turn off the lights, get up and walk around the cabin, now get back to your seats and put the lights back on.
Everything would be like expedited. Instead of a movie, they just show a commercial.
Right? Yeah.
This is a Hallmark commercial you might like.
Dude, it's a minute and a half. Yeah. You might have you would have time to just see most of the all the commercial, and that's it.
It's like you take off, you get to the highest point, and then you just come right back down. Like
that's it.
It's just you get up there and then you come back down.
At least you have some time to fall asleep. Yeah. You know.
By the way, the longest flight is in the world, actually.
In the world, yes.
Is the New York to Singapore route.
How long?
Flown by Singapore Airlines, takes nearly 18 hours of flight time.
They go over the North Pole for something like that, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so when my buddy goes to, he goes to China a couple times a year, and from what I believe, they don't go around, they go over.
Yeah, sometimes, we have our vision of what the globe is, and you think, oh, well, you have to go left to right. You have to go this way, across this way.
Because
and all you have to do is look down because all of the countries are marked in big letters.
That's right.
And look, a giant compass, Steve. Look, Hawaii right there.
Wow. But no, sometimes they go over the Arctic Circle because it's the shortest path.
So my dad was flying over, where there was daylight basically on one side of the plane and night on the other. It was very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Casey, it looks like they actually go across the entire United States, up over Alaska, and up into the Arctic area. But it doesn't look like they go right over.
Well, Singapore's a lot more south than I had had thought.
Well, they moved it recently.
Oh, they did.
Better tax situation.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, better climate.
When flying to, we went to Norway, Sweden, and all that, and you go up into Scandinavia, we flew up over Greenland and Iceland, and I'm like, man, I didn't know that was the direct route to go this way, but apparently
how did you get back to the United States? You made a left.
Turn left to Greenland.
That's a funny joke we're talking about.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Tickets, but real quick, for the Singapore flight, $2,147, which actually is cheaper than I thought it would be.
What's first class, though?
Oh, God, I don't know. $50,000.
The one that people always say is just a super drain is...
Australia. Yeah, or New Zealand.
Yeah.
My dad took the Singapore flight. Work took him there. And I don't remember where he flew out of because we were living in St. Louis at the time. He may have, I'm sure he had to go to New York first and then go to Singapore.
He might have gone out of L.A.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But he said it was a bitch. It sucks the life out of
you. When does it start to become, when was the last time you found yourself on a flight being like, oh my God, okay, enough. Because now, with iPads and things of that nature, you can you rock through a couple of movies. You're burning up some hours,
But you got to get up and walk around a little bit and move.
Play table tennis.
Feel halfway decent.
You need a big plane for that.
Yeah.
I flew home from Lake Tahoe earlier this summer, and we connected from Reno to Chicago and then Chicago back to Philly. And the guy sitting next to me was in the military from Chicago to Philly. He was on the third or fourth flight of his day. He was coming home from Okinawa.
Oh, wow.
I know. So he was stationed in Okinawa. I don't remember if he was... Air Force or Army, but it doesn't matter. And so he was coming home from there. So it was Okinawa to Tokyo, Tokyo to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Chicago, Chicago to Philly, and then he was going down to Dover. And it was I was so impressed, but he was like, he was in a good mood. He slept when he could. But
leave me alone.
You get up and walk when you can. It's just you just know that it's going to be a day of time that just disappears into the ether.
Listen, going to Hawaii is a wonderful trip. Certainly, it's a wonderful deal. We've done it a few times. Did it for that press junket, for Pearl Harbor. It's great, but it is a long-ass trip.
I love the movie Up in the Air. George Clooney's character loves flying. He just loves traveling, loves everything about it. But he's got the system down. He knows how to get through TSA quickly, knows how to get the perks at the hotels, knows what's little scams you can do and stuff like that. And he got a system, and he loves it that way.
Is that the one where he has the affair with the woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she has the affair with him.
Yeah, she has
an affair with him.
He and his family are out driving and they hit a Sasquatch.
No, that's Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but he does lose his bike and he looks for it at the Alamo.
Okay. Yeah, that's Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
So, my friend also loves flying and she used to have to do this 18 hour flight from New York City to Singapore a few times. I think she did
my God.
Either two or three times a year for work. And it didn't bother her in one bit. Like, okay. I was like, what do you do? What are you doing on there? She's like, I don't know. I sleep a lot. I eat, watch movies.
You just mentioned one of the critical elements. I find it inordinately difficult to sleep on a plane.
Yep.
I can go into a semi-lucid state.
Yep.
I wet myself, no problem.
But getting real sleep?
Getting real sleep, real, you know, it just doesn't work for me.
I've never used those neck pillows or anything like that, but I bought one because we're going to have to get off and work, so I'm going to try anything to, to right. sleep.
I'm going to go to Danielle, who's made that Singapore flight. Hi, Danielle. Good morning.
Well done.
Is it Danielle or Daniel?
Danielle.
Oh, hi, Danielle. I couldn't tell from the...
Wow, that was... powerful.
So, Danielle, you've taken the Singapore flight. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. I've taken it multiple times because I lived in Singapore, and I have family in the U.S.
Uh-oh.
They found out. They found out she got to a phone, and they wrestled her to the ground.
She's gone.
We have someone on the phone. Someone's on the phone, please.
Well, why don't we talk to a doctor?
Oh, really?
About some information on what might happen if you're taking a long flight. I think he was just, you know, there are certain things you can do that can be
health-related,
and he loves us. Dr. Michael Cerulli, at Medicine and Fox 29. Hey, Dr. Mike.
Listen, you've talked about a very important thing, Preston, and that is you need to get up and move around, especially with long flights, because you can develop a blood clot in your leg. I deal with this all the time. And
really?
It can cause a major problem known as a pulmonary embolism. You can
I've heard of it, but I'm surprised that you get a lot of people that have that issue, Dr. Mike.
Well, I don't get it weekly, but I would say two or three a year.
Wow.
And some people are more predisposed to it if they have what's called a hypercoagulable state, meaning that their blood clots a little easier than it should. But for everyone, because the plane is pressurized to about 8,000 feet.
Yes.
And so you are, if you just lay there and you don't move and you go on a long transcontinental flight or across the ocean, you put yourself at increased risk. And so for all of you, I want you to get up and move around every hour or so. It's best to have an aisle seat if you can. I even write notes for some of my patients to have exit aisles so that they have more room to get up and move around.
Okay. Well, you know what I do also is when I'm in the seat, I do sort of, you know, little calf raises and all that stuff. And I just exercise my legs a little bit, move them around. And then obviously just getting up and going to the bathroom and spending a little bit of time walking up and down the aisles is should get it done, right? You don't need to be running in place.
No, exactly what you said, Steve. If you flex at if you dorsiflex, where you raise your feet up and down and tense up your calf muscles, you're going to move the blood in those veins that can lead to a blood clot. So if you do that in your seat, that's good. But you really do need to get up. You don't want to just... Like a log for 5 hours.
No, because that is issues. And then what about these various travel socks that people wear that are supposed to help fight against blood clot situations while you're traveling?
Well, they're graduated support stockings. That's what they are. And they allow veins and blood to come back up into the heart. And so that's really important, especially if you're obese, you're overweight. You want to make sure and take care of business with that. But the key is to get up and move around. And certainly, if you have a history of a blood clotting condition, I have a couple patients where I actually put them on blood thinners even for a trip.
Wow.
So if it's a long trip, some of my patients go to places like Botswana and I put them on anticoagulation. But you should be fine, all of you, if you just get up and move around.
And sage advice.
Is that a flight? Give us an average length of a flight where you might want to consider getting up and walking around, Dr. Mike.
Well, any
1.5 minutes.
if you go to the West Coast, anything more than a couple hours.
Okay,
Florida,
yeah.
Fine,
we'll need to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, Dr. Mike, we love you.
Love you.
Love you.
All right, see ya.
You know
Mike
what I
Smigliano,
do?
Penn Medicine and Fox 29.
Listen, if you have a fairly cordial relationship with the person sitting next to you, ask them to rub your feet.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they'll. Maybe they're a massage therapist.
These dogs are barking.
Yeah.
There's a great
rubbing my barnacles here.
There's a great Instagram follow. I don't know if we've talked about it on here, but Passenger Shaming, and they just put, you know, post things that people are doing on flights that are just not okay. Mm.
Kathy, I talked about it on the air, and I follow them, and I just saw that you started liking their pictures, because there were some ridiculous ones, like the person's hair flowing over the back of the their chair over the, there's a screen in the back of the chair that somebody can't watch because the person in front of them, their hair is just...
Question, by the way, are we all sitting together or are we all over the plane?
Oh, I don't know.
We don't know?
I don't even know if we're going to make it there.
I know. We're working on it. Anyhow, I'm sorry. These are just the things that I noticed. We don't have time.
Things noticed. Yeah, that's about it. It wasn't as fulfilling as one might have hoped.
Well, we don't
it's
have
a time
enough
constraint because we have Paul Dano coming in.
Paul Dano is here.
Oh, he's here.
And so I want to take a break and come back, and I don't want to eat up any more of his time.
I mean, this is a writer-director with an incredible new film out. We need to address
that
it.
That is absolutely.
So, you know, we got some features have to be truncated. It's the way of the world. Stop your pissing and moaning.
This is the most I've ever heard our announcer speak, actually, of the Noticer. So that's very nice. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And as we said, yes, actor-director Paul Dano is going to be in our studio. There's a screening of his film Wildlife Tonight. We'll get you the details when we return. Stay there. Back shortly.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
There is a screening tonight at 6 p.m. at the Film Center of the movie Wildlife, and it stars Carey Mulligan and Jake Gyllenhaal. And while our guest in the studio is an incredibly accomplished actor, you will not see him on screen. However, his presence is felt because this is his directorial debut for the film Wildlife. Please welcome back to our studio, after 6 years, Mr. Paul Dano.
Yes.
This morning. Good to see you, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Listen, so your directorial debut, mm-hmm. and also you wrote the screenplay or co-wrote the screenplay. Going into this, what kind of expectations did you set for yourself? That's a big, big, big project.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, directing is such a long journey and such a big experience. I think you're just sort of setting expectations one step at a time.
Okay.
So honestly, at first, you're just trying to write a good script and set yourself up with a foundation that you can feel good on. Then you're just like trying to get the actors to say yes. Then you're just like trying to get the money.
And we're talking years and years. And we're talking about, what, about like 4 years?
I would say so. I read a book called Wildlife by Richard Ford, who's an incredible American writer.
Right.
Probably 2011 or 2012, and started turning this thing over in my head, thinking, okay, can this be a film? Can this be a film for me?
So do you immediately option it because you're like, oh, okay, because I know how these things play and you want to make sure you have it, correct?
Correct, but I did not immediately option
it. Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I sort of wanted to make sure that I had something to offer it. Also, because I sort of do admire Richard Ford, I really wanted to sort of know that there was a film. You know, just a good book doesn't necessarily make a film, so why make a film of it? And when I thought of the ending for this film, which is different than the book, that's when I optioned the book, because I sort of knew the final shot sort of gave me the energy and the courage to sort of actually do it.
It's very cool, because I think when you take... So you and Zoe Kazan co-wrote the screenplay, and it was from what I understand, it was a back and forth process, and that actually, you know, you kind of took a very long run at it at first, and she sort of helped you, you know, whittle it down and get to that point. But you sort of got the blessing from the author of the book to just make it your own property, and at that point when that happened, did that you have a sigh of relief? Because I think the onus would, or you'd feel sort of an you'd have to be as faithful to the source material as you, you know, to out of respect, But when he sort of cuts you loose, was that a breath
of
relief? Yeah,
yeah, for sure. I mean, not only because I like his work, but he basically said that my book is my book and your picture is your picture.
Oh, that's
great.
And
you need to establish your own values. And that sort of immediately gives you permission to sort of follow now what the film is. And you have to. He had the great bit of wisdom that you can't just sort of translate a book and, you know, make it into a film. And my partner and I, Zoe, you know, the sort of story there is that I wrote a first draft. I secretly thought it was pretty good. And then I gave it to her, and she quickly dissuaded me.
Wow. As friends do. As good friends do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not as good as you think it is.
Yeah. Did Richard Ford, the author, did he ever visit the set during filming, or did he stay away from all that?
No, he stayed away. I mean, we kept in touch via email. He writes the most beautiful emails. And we've been in touch. We just did a talk at Lincoln Center the last week in New York. He loves the film, so that means a lot.
So it's a story of a family and a family going through changes. And it's a funny thing because, you know, a simple story told this way, families can provide your greatest sense of support and love and also your greatest conflict in life and your greatest, you know, your greatest issues to deal with. And that's what you were looking to explore with this, correct?
That's exactly it. Richard Ford sort of captured a duality where he was able to look at this hard situation with a lot of compassion, a lot of love. That's certainly how I, you know, sort of grew up. We lived in a one-bedroom apartment in New York. My family was close, but probably too close. you know, and when my parents struggled, we felt it, you know, and it's sort of I moved to a new town when I was 14 to enter high school. At that point in your life, home is sort of the edge of the world. You know, I didn't yet have friends in that town.
Yeah.
Know? And so that is sort of what the film is trying to express. It's really about a kid seeing his parents change, their marriage change, and sort of just being like thrust suddenly into adulthood.
It's got to be wild.
We moved when my sister was 15. Oh my God, it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of drama. You know, you try to explain to people, you know, these things, and it's like, wow, this sounds kind of silly. This really isn't as dramatic as it appears to be. But within your nucleus, within your family, it's incredibly dramatic, you know?
Yeah, and that's something, you know, Richard Ford and I were talking last week, and, you know, the only way to write or make something is to make it about the most important thing in the world to you. And for me, that's, you know, that's my family.
This deal, so you have Carrie Mulligan and you have Jake Gyllenhaal. They play the married couple. And Ed Oxenbould, who I've seen before.
We had him in studio.
Really?
Yeah.
Very talented, right?
Was it Good Day or whatever?
Yes.
Oh, he was in that, but he was also in an M. Night Shyamalan film called The Visit.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I don't know if I've had the brain for it. Yes.
Little white kid who like raps or something.
Yeah. He gets a diaper jammed in his face. Yes. he's super talented. But he's watching sort of the marriage dissolve. His dad has an occupation that is impacted by a series of fires, and so he goes to fight these fires. And the dad's off doing that, and the mom is kind of left to her own devices. And she there's an affair of sorts. Mm. So things go awry, and he's watching that, and it's the thing that I we were talking with Peter Hedges about this, the director. He was in on Friday talking about, you know, Ben is back. These movies have to be tonally pitch perfect, because if it goes one way, it becomes too maudlin. If it comes another way, it becomes insincere. And is that, as for you as a first time director, was that sort of very, very hard to keep on that tightrope?
Well, sure. Yeah, I think exactly. I certainly didn't want the film to overslip into melodrama.
Right.
You know, in fact, I wanted to be pretty honest about it and sort of show these people warts and all. Mm-hmm. And sort of look at the moment when we see that our parents are like real people.
Yeah,
You know, with past lives and with flaws and, you know.
It's a revelation. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that happens a number of ways. First of all, casting the film really well helps, and I was very lucky to have Carrie Mulligan and Jake Gyllenhaal playing these parents. They're incredible actors. They were so trusting of me, and they're also the kind of actors who are sort of like all in, you know, on their work. So like the sense of collaboration making a film is one of the things I love most about directing, because it's sort of like playing in a band or something. You know, acting I find a bit more lonely, where directing you are working with every single person on the set, just trying to get the best out of them. You're being like a parent. You know, you're setting up the space for everybody to do their best work.
What do you think this is going to do? Because now you're a director, and I was reading an interview with you where you talked about how you now understand why people love actors while they have such an appreciation for it. You yourself as an actor, what will this do to you as an actor now having directed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm actually really curious myself. Certainly, I've done one acting thing since I made Wildlife. And, you know, I remember at the end of the day thinking, this poor sucker has to go scout right now or has to go, you know, do something at the next location. And I'm going to go home. And, you know, I mean, you just knowing what it takes. And also, frankly, because I've been doing it for a while and I've been fortunate in my career, having your eyes sort of refreshed and also seeing, like, the crew and knowing their experience on a more intimate level.
Right.
It really takes a village, you know, and you're lucky to get to day one of photography alone. And so really just sort of respecting and trusting the process, too.
You mentioned your partnership with Zoe Kazan, and she was here with you when you came in July of 2012 for Ruby Sparks. And you deferred to her, I guess, when it comes to the writing process. But what is that like when you have an idea and you really love your idea and then you give it to somebody else and they say, that's not bad, but I'm going to take, is it trust? Is it, how do you get to a point where you're like, all right, her idea is better than mine?
Well, it's debilitating first.
crippled. No. What do you mean?
No. So in this case, it wasn't that somebody's idea is better. It was like, okay, this was my first time writing. Yeah. Zoe is a proper writer. She's written plays that have gone up in New York. She's written screenplays that have been produced. She saw what I was trying to do, but was like, I can. And also, frankly, we just couldn't get through a note session because we lived together and you have to sort of protect the relationship from right. You know, a certain amount of conflict. So I think she was like, why don't I just do a pass? Because I think it's healthier for us than if we just fight through these notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be wonderful. And it sort of opened up our process, which was we would talk about the script for 2 or 3 hours. Then one of us would take it for a few weeks and sort of do a pass. So we each had our own process. And at that point, once you're into it, you're fighting on behalf of the characters and the film. So you're not fighting each other. You know, somebody has an idea, you believe in it, you talk about it, you get into it, and then time sort of reveals the right direction.
Well, I was reading a review, and this is, I'd say this is a pretty good review. It says, impeccably acted, brilliantly written, confidently directed, and full of quiet desperation. It's rather magnificent. So it is getting great reviews. And when these movies do work, when they're these family dramas, I love them. They're compelling, and they also can give you insight into your own situation. And you're talking about Carey Mulligan, who's getting rave reviews for this. And just watching the clips that we've seen, you know, it's a performance like, I'm a fan of hers. I've seen her, you know, in just about everything. And obviously she approaches with a lot of gusto. Those moments, though, where you as a director, like you're not moving the camera a lot, you're just kind of letting it happen. You know, to me, that would be such a hand-wringing thing. How do I do this? How do I convey the subtlety of this? Mm. You know, were there a number of passes, or did you just instinctively say, this is the way it's got
to
be?
No, it was from day one a film that let's not move the camera if we don't have to for the moment. Let's not put score on it unless we have to. Let's sort of like...
let it breathe?
Yeah, and also just like leave them to hang out to dry almost, you know, because you don't want to be reductive about something like this, something as complicated. My feeling is I've always loved the illusion of simplicity, like something that looks simple but is really not, you know. And it was something I said to my crew even was like, it's like we're trying to make a film that's like sushi. Like it looks simple.
Quiet moments.
It's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually beautiful and, you know, it's hard to make. And,
right.
I like
and
that.
You can kill people if you don't make it properly. So like, there you go.
Okay.
I like the analogy. Case.
All right. So the kind of getting away from the film, but sort of staying in that column.
Right.
I love Mumford & Sons. They're like one of my favorite bands. Carey Mulligan is married to Marcus Mumford.
Yeah.
Did Marcus show up at all?
Oh, sure.
Did he?
Yeah. We hung. Yeah,
you made his day.
We would go hit some golf balls, hang out. We were in Oklahoma. We were sort of in, not, I don't want to say the middle of nowhere, but.
You were in the middle of nowhere.
We were in the middle of nowhere.
Bon F, as they call it.
But that's also one of the beauties about making a film on location is this feeling of like summer camp. So, you know, Carey and I have known each other forever. Jake and I have known each other, known Marcus forever. You know, there's something nice about the only people you have to lean on are the people you're there working with, and it's super fun.
Right.
Are they a part of the soundtrack at all?
They are not.
Okay.
I do think they have a new record coming out soon.
They do.
I'm going to go hang out at MSG in December.
If you're just tuning in, Paul Dano is here, writer and director of Wildlife, and there's a screening tonight, 6 o'clock. There's a Q&A as well. It's at the Film Center. Tickets are available at filmadelphia.org. Going back to what Steve was saying about first-time directing, you had to have at some point, though, in preparation for this, and I was looking at IMDb. You only have one directorial credit, and that's this one. You had to have played around a little bit. Did you do any projects on your own, just trying things out at first?
Yes, sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, in high school, I almost went to film school. I had already started acting. I sort of felt like I'm in that world enough. Let me just step away from this weird Hollywood world for school for a second. I made a short film, probably in my mid-20s, 16-millimeter camera, just for a couple of days, just to, sort of get my feet wet. But also, I've wanted to make films for so long. I do feel like as an actor, there is a process of osmosis that happens sort of on set. You know, I'm usually focused on my character, but I love film so much. It's dictated a lot of my acting career, meaning I sort of want to work with directors who excite me.
Yeah.
That's the best feeling.
You have a good record with that. And I've heard it said many times that you know, when an accomplished actor directs, that the actors who work for that actor director love it, because there's a language that you share that maybe a director wouldn't share with actors. And was that your experience with your cast in this case?
I hope so. Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm there, you know, I want to give them their dream experience. You know, I've been there. I've been on many different sets. I know the vibe. One of the things I definitely took away from a lot of the films I've done is the sort of idea of like the temperature on set. I love, as an actor, when you walk from your trailer, you arrive at set and there's a feeling.
There's
a feeling. It's part of making the crew care about what we're doing, that every shot matters, that the guy pushing the dolly, you know, is in the scene. And you just want to create a vibe for people to, like, do their best work. And that's really fun, to give these great actors that opportunity.
So the last time we had you in, you were promoting the film Ruby Sparks. And this was on the heels of There Will Be Blood. Mm. And you worked with Daniel Day-Lewis. I was watching Phantom Thread yesterday. It's been making its way on cable. Mm. It's a very, very slow-paced movie. But I continue to watch it every time I come across it, because he is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody as good as he is, because when I watch him, I believe everything that he does. Do you know what I mean?
Watch Lincoln, mm-hmm. and then watch Gangs of New York,
yes.
back to back, and then you're like,
so
how is this the same person? It's unbelievable.
From what I read is that you essentially got that part on There Will Be Blood because he recognized your work in a previous film. I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest compliments you've ever received.
Yeah. So I got to work with Daniel when I was 19 on a film called The Ballad of Jack and Rose. And that was sort of actually the turning point for me in saying, I'm going to be an actor. I'd gotten to play a couple parts in films before that, but kind of more close to who I am, like maybe just like a little bit more of like a dorky.
Gosh diggity dang.
I don't only want to play that. And when I got cast in this film, somebody saw me as playing a character, and that was like the vote of confidence I needed. And being on set with Daniel Day-Lewis and Catherine Keener was so inspiring. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm all in on this job.
It's, I think, a real punch to everybody if Daniel has walked away from acting altogether, because he's just so good.
I know.
But that's a choice.
He got a
great deal through Amway. They've offered him a thing that's going to work out nicely. Apparently,
he's absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can write that off.
I watched a movie recently that you're in, Love and Mercy, about Brian Wilson. And it's an interesting movie. I didn't quite know what to expect. There are several different actors playing Brian Wilson in it. Can you talk a little bit about what that experience was like? And did you have a relationship or learn anything from Brian or talk to him about it?
Yeah, I think that's the best time I've ever had acting. Brian is a really special guy.
It's the story of Brian Wilson, by the way, and you play him as younger Brian Wilson around the time of the recording of Pet Sounds, and John Cusack plays him later on in life.
For somebody who struggles so much, Brian, he's got an incredible amount of light inside of him, and frankly, studying that music for 6+ months was one of the greatest gifts I've had from work. I just felt so in love with what he's giving us through the spirit of this music, and I miss it.
It's a great movie, and I just saw that your film after seeing a documentary called The Wrecking Crew. in which they sing. And I told Preston, I think you've seen it since then.
Oh, correct? Yeah.
And they talk about recording with Brian Wilson. And these were the top studio musicians. And they said, and then there's Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
And his genius level was off the charts. And I think the sequences where you're recording in the film, and you specifically caught what I imagined, you know, it would have been like outside of the documentary. It was an amazing performance.
That's very nice. Yeah. And that's frankly, we were in the studio that he actually recorded Pet Sounds in back in 65.
Wow.
And at that point, you're just trying to summon the spirits and let them pass through you, you know.
Yeah.
But that is so moving that these brilliant music, the Wrecking Crew, they were the best. They were the best session musicians in town.
Yep.
And Brian was their guy. They were like, that's the guy. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I have a question. So Wildlife, I think you mentioned, is opening in Philly and on the 2nd.
Yep.
What are the challenges of marketing a film like this when it doesn't have explosions and, you know what I mean, against the mass market of people going to see films? How do you make it stand out? How do you get people in the theater to go see it?
That's a great question. We ask you guys to, you know,
that's why you're here.
To stump it for us.
We see trailers sell it for us a lot of times, and you can get excited about a film when you see a trailer, and you know, and do you have anything to do with that?
Well, sure. Yeah. Look, okay. I mean, I believe personally, listening to me talk on the radio is one thing, but I think the poster and the trailer reflect the film, and that's, you know, do you want to see that or not? I think you hear if it's good, right? The reviews are good. But frankly, I think word of mouth is even more important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had a lot of fun going around to different places because, frankly, so many people are coming up to me telling me about their parents' divorce, which is like the greatest compliment, you know, I think you can sort of receive, that somebody's willing to come up to a stranger and say, you know, thanks for this film. And, so really, you're trying to make contact with somebody out there. You know, I hope they come. I think it's a film that should be seen in the theater. I do think it's very cinematic, and I think it's an experience that is best had in the dark. Big screen, loud, people around you.
With a collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was bold, and I don't want to, like, have a spoiler alert, but to have Thanos appear in the post-credits scene was kind of remarkable, and nobody saw that coming.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But we know at least your family lived.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, no, it's very cool. Congratulations. I'm sure the amount of angst and hand-wringing that had to be involved in your first directorial effort to have this kind of reaction is the brass ring of the whole thing.
It is one of the hardest things I've ever done, and also some of the most fun I've ever had. So
cool, very cool.
All right, tonight, and that'll be at 6 o'clock at the Film Center. You'll be able to see the screening of Wildlife. If you'd like to get tickets, you can go to filmadelphia.org. There'll be a Q&A. Not sure on the timing of that, but you'll be there, right, Paul?
That's right.
Excellent, man. Hey, great to see you again. Yeah. Congratulations. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys.
Paul Dano, everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay close.
Starting 2019 with a bang, WMMR presents Disturbed.
Are you ready?
Indoors, February 18th at the Big Joint. With 3 days grace to open the show, listen to Win Your Way In. And for Preston and Steve's Word of the Week prize, we're putting one lucky listener on a plane to Vegas to catch the January show in Sin City. Disturbed, February 18th. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. MMR presale info at WMMR.com. Disturbed and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I know I'm forgetting something. There's a lot of things to mention. We'll do some more in a little while since I just did the Harvest Seasonal Grill gift card giveaways. I'll do some more Bohemian Rhapsody. Passes for the movie screening tomorrow night in a bit. What else do I need to mention? We have a lot of stuff. And I have a handful more of these London broadcast passes. If you do happen to be going to London for either just pleasure or you're going to the Eagles game.
The amount of people that are is crazy.
Yeah. You'll want to stick around because we will have a chance for you to get on board for our live broadcast, which is going to be aboard the Tattersall Castle Pub on the River Thames on Friday. And then, Casey, where are we broadcasting from on Monday?
We're actually broadcasting from the W Hotel, which is on, like, Wardour Street in Leicester Square.
Yes.
How do you say that if it's...
Leicester Square.
Leicester Square.
It's right by Piccadilly Circus.
All right.
Yeah. So which is the main drag there.
Yep. So we will be there atop the hotel. There's a really great, like, penthouse bar restaurant area that kind of overlooks everything.
Would be like Bob Guccione.
Yep, yep. So we'll be there on Monday morning, and that I don't think it's going to have the same type of restrictions that Friday's broadcast is going to have.
Yeah, Friday's is already sold out, and there's the Green Legion event, but there's still, you know, that's why we're giving away the passes. But on Monday, you know, come on by. We'd love to see you.
Especially if you're a podcaster and you live in or around London, and you want to make a little trip in Monday, it'll be local time. We start there on Monday, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Because they have their daylight savings time takes place. Normally, we would be starting 11 a.m., but it's going to be 10 a.m. on Monday. So come by the W Hotel, find their bar, and come up and see us. We'll be broadcasting live. We'd love to meet you in person. If you've been listening to the show abroad for a while and you've never had a chance to say hello in person, we'd love to say hi to you.
You know, I was thinking, okay, so we're going to work like semi-normal hours, you know, 10 to 3, whatever it is, 10 to 4. But then I'm like, you know what? We don't have the whole day to do things. So, you know, I'm thinking.
Because we work later in the day. Right?
Yeah, because we work later in the day. Like here, you know, we work so early that during the day you can make an appointments, you can go to the gym, you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, I'm just thinking, you know, there are some pros to getting up at, you know, 4:15 in the morning. Yeah,
makes you appreciate things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I'm a little bit fearful for Friday because from what I understand, just the time change, we're going to be sort of dead to the world later on in the day there.
So somebody gave me advice.
Okay.
And I know everybody has like different tips, but
tranquilizers.
He's from London. He travels back a lot. He said on a regular basis, he's flying back there. So he said what's worked best for him to get the most out of your time there, if it's a short trip, this was his suggestion,
all right,
is to try, obviously, your hardest to sleep on the plane, get some sort of rest on the plane.
And then soldier through that first day.
And then soldier through the first day. He said don't nap in the middle of the day. Yeah. It'll totally screw you up.
That's what, when we went to Denmark last year, and same thing, similar flight, got there early in the morning, and we just that day we're like, we're staying up no matter how tired we get, we're going to try to go to bed at a normal time, local time there.
Yes.
And the next day we were good to go.
Sync your clock up. I think that makes sense. Yes.
I'm especially fearful because
on
Friday night I'm taking a train at like, oh God, like 9 o'clock.
I warned you about that.
I know, but listen, I'm going to Paris for the day on Saturday.
No, you're not, because you're not going to get off your stop.
I'm going to end up in Switzerland. I know it.
Totally. You are not going to where you're supposed
to
be going.
He'll be there. Where the hell am I?
Yeah. And why are all these people?
What is your name, dog? I'm to American Radio.
But not only that, I mean, I don't speak a lick of French at all. And
yes,
so
you do.
Nah, oui.
Au revoir.
Ménage à trois.
You're ahead of the game.
Ménage à trois.
Take your phone with you. You can download and keep it resident on your phone.
Yeah.
It's an app that is a French translator if you need it.
It's not going to matter. He's not going to be
But away. They do. A lot of them do speak English.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, I have a translator on my phone. Will that translate British to
American? You can set it to British.
All right, I'll do that.
A lot of them don't understand. What is the, we're divided by a common language.
I actually downloaded a few Learn French apps on my phone, and I just haven't gotten around to actually doing it.
You know what? I've spent so many years culling bizarre file stories from the UK.
Yes.
And I translate their
into English.
Their vernacular. Well, I translate their vernacular. Words like lorry and things that are
their weight measurements
that are used regularly, and I transfer them over to common stuff that we will use, common phrases that we will use. So I'm pretty good on the local vernacular.
Boot to bonnet, lift, schedule.
Yeah.
Spotted dick.
Well, there's a lot of things that they will refer to as differently, like, you know, the hen party is a bachelorette party.
Yes.
And hens and stags and the coffee, of course, you remember.
Yes.
Of
the Church of England. Twigs and berries.
We were going through some, and we're actually going to have this pair on the show with us on Monday who do some videos that compare UK culture to other cultures.
Yes.
And American is part of that as well. And they were going through, there were some phrases that they find confusing that we would equally find confusing for what they have.
I love stuff like that.
So like a woman's vagina.
Right.
There is referred to as a fanny.
Did you know that?
It's not the rear end.
Wow. So if you smack somebody in the fanny over there, you're going to jail.
You're falcon punching them.
Mm-hmm. And they call farts over there, it's called a trump.
A trump.
Really?
Yes. Huh. And that was well before Trump got into office. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So there are little things like that that we'll find out while we are there.
Yes. Cool. Their slang for cigarettes is a word we don't use anymore.
And then also, because my friend is from Manchester, and I gave her the peace sign not just a few weeks ago, and she was like, yo, dude, well, you just gave me the finger.
If you use the back of your hand, that's saying like, F you. Yeah, but this, I think, is okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, with your palm out front, but go like that. I mean, they used to do that on the young ones, an English show I used to watch all the time. Yeah, you Nazi.
You know what I want to start saying is wanker.
Wanker's a good word?
Yeah, it is a good word.
All right.
I want to say that.
I just did. I just said
Steve,
it.
Steve, I want to say it.
I'm doing it.
I'm saying wanker, everybody.
Unbutterable.
Local broadcaster was taken to an asylum today.
Steve, in the video that we have for Unbutterable... He finally eats pancakes or waffles that don't have butter in every square, and you go, I'm doing it! I'm doing it! Oh, dear Lord.
Beautiful.
What is our latest Daily Rush video that's up right now? I was watching one yesterday.
It's a poop emoji.
Yes, I haven't seen that one yet.
What is this one now?
It has to do with the poop emoji.
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett's poop app.
Yeah.
Which is available now if you want to check that out.
I just punched a chick in the fanny. I was overseas. Hey, over here, you call it a falcon punch. Four knuckles right in.
Brought
boom.
To you by...
laid that bitch out.
Punchline filling.
I've been drinking.
Okay, I understand, Tony. Yeah.
I'm old.
All right, let's...
I sketch a lot.
Let us get to the bizarre file. Here we go.
Now. WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you by Delilah's. Delilah's presents Trick or Treat, the 27th anniversary party on Wednesday, October 24th with guest DJ Cat Nova.
I bet that'd be interesting.
Visit Delilah's.com for details. Yes, I would imagine it's going to be a little over the top.
Bet you they wear sexy costumes.
Security cameras were rolling at a Chinese train station when a curious toddler climbed onto a baggage belt and went through the X-ray scanner.
Wow.
And there is video. It shows the man going through security when his young son disappears from view. The man gets to the other side of the checkpoint and notices his son is missing. He turns and finds the boy, who then crawls out of the luggage X-ray machine. And the video does include a photo of the boy X-rayed by the machine inside of it.
And now, was he in any physical danger?
They said the boy was not injured.
Just general X-ray.
I don't think it's enough to really cause any physical issues. But look at this, Kathy. Look at that picture.
Isn't that wild?
Oh my God.
I'm fine, Father.
The kid being X-rayed. Yeah, he comes out.
I feel different.
His head is gigantic. In St. Petersburg, Florida, a 20-year-old woman was killed in a freak accident as she was hit by a falling palm tree while lying in a hammock Edgemont Key Park. Yeah,
at that point, you just know your number's up.
Officials say her death appears to be accidental. The woman has been identified as Isabel Melendez of Tampa. She was transported to the hospital where she was pronounced deceased. Now, it didn't indicate whether it was one of the trees that the hammock was attached to or if the hammock was attached to something else or not, but apparently it fell. And I had one story not too long ago of palm fronds falling off, and they can injure and kill people. They're heavier than you think they are.
Well, the coconuts that form, they actually in L.A. and other areas and resorts, they have a staff that goes around and makes sure they remove them because they fall from that height and they can kill you.
Yep. Speaking of falling, at least 30 people were injured when a floor collapsed at a party at Clemson University in South Carolina. The Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity annual homecoming party was just getting started, and the floor gave way. There's video of it, too.
It's pretty wild.
Crazy. There were tons of people that were on the dance floor when it happened. Police said some of the attendees broke bones as they fell from the common area into the basement of the off-campus apartment complex. Emergency responders were at the scene in minutes, and 23 people were taken to a hospital. I remember being at a college party one time at an apartment complex, and everybody was piled out on the deck out back.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, man, this doesn't feel right. And nothing happened, but, I mean, look at that, guys. Did you see that?
It goes right down.
Yeah.
All the way to the basement. Now, Preston, on those cases, some of those are like two or three stories up, and people have died.
Easily, yeah.
Now, was anybody in the basement?
Nobody was killed, Casey, so I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, sir.
I was in the basement.
Can you describe the scene, please?
I don't know what happened.
Earl.
I was in the basement.
Attendee Leroy Pearson said everybody was jumping. Next thing you know, I could feel myself falling.
I go back to the party.
He said, I blacked out and there were girls everywhere with blood all over their faces.
Oh, so, yeah.
The university released a statement about the incident saying Student Affairs is working to determine how many of those injured were Clemson students and to notify other institutions if one or more of their students were in attendance. The building where the party took place was reportedly built in 2004, so it wasn't
it's old
or anything. But
you know, sometimes I remember being at Chase Stadium years ago, and like, it was the Who concert, and there were people jumping up and down, and I'm like, this mother effer's going to go.
Wow. Listen how messed up this is. Park City police say five teen girls dressed as zombies were promoting Odyssey Dance Theater's annual production of Thriller. And they were having fun and scaring pedestrians on Main Street in Park City. Okay, so, but when the girls tried to scare a guy named Drew Stephen Hyde, he responded by punching and shoving the girls.
Wow.
Hyde is 56 years old. He was arrested and later charged in third district court with five counts of child abuse. The odd incident happened as the girls, who were between the ages of 13 and 16, were outside the Egyptian Theater. As Hyde walked by with his family, he told a 14-year-old girl, if you touch my daughter, I will punch you. And then he punched her on the left side of her face.
But,
and, a 14-year-old.
14-year-old?
Yeah. A 16-year-old girl told police that she watched Hyde shove two other girls down the stairs, then come and shove me back down the stairs. Hyde told another 16-year-old, if you effing touch me, I will knock you out, before he grabbed her by the back of the neck and shoved her down the
stairs.
Wow,
he is not getting the spirit of the whole thing.
A 15-year-old girl said Hyde told her, if any of you touch me, I'll F you up. And then he proceeded to grab her by the back of the neck and shove her down the stairs. While the fifth girl, a 13-year-old, gave a similar story that Hyde walked up to her and told her that if she touched him, he would effing knock her out, before he proceeded to punch her in the chest.
Wow.
What a psycho. And apparently all female victims were checked out by medical staff, and no major injuries were noted except bruises. A photo was...
He's not a Thriller fan, clearly.
...was taken of the suspect, and he was later identified as Drew Hyde. He was scheduled to make an initial appearance in court last Thursday, but he's...
What a lunatic.
...facing child abuse charges.
Beating up 14-year-old girls.
Yeah. All right, guys, when we make our trip to London
yes.
on Thursday, make sure you pack your own bag. A 22-year-old man from Maryland was arrested at Baltimore Washington International Airport last week. TSA officials discovered a collapsible rifle in his carry-on bag. The TSA says the .40-caliber rifle was not loaded and was detected via an X-ray machine on October 12th. The man told authorities that he was unaware the firearm was in his bag because his mother had packed it for him. And she had put a
gun. To make sure his collapsible rifles in here and his hand grenades and his child pornography. There we go.
Don't
have a good flight.
Don't forget the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, too.
Yeah, something to snack on. And put your protein bars and your Slim Fast shakes in there as well, with your gun and your knife and your hand grenades and your child porn.
The TSA reminds everyone that they can press...
Oh, and your drugs there, too.
They can press charges against anyone who brings a firearm to a checkpoint. And
your manifesto's in there.
And they even have the authority to assess civil penalties of up to $13,000 for weapons violations.
And a little package of Kleenex.
All right, and do I have time for one more? Or
no, do it. No.
More.
No.
Yeah. If you ever thought that you might have been served mystery meat from your school cafeteria, you'll appreciate this story.
You were.
A Nebraska superintendent is apologizing for anxiety and any harm caused after a school chef served kangaroo meat to students without disclosing what it was. The cook in the state's Potter Dix Public School District served up the meat on October 10th as part of a chili dish mixed with other meat. The superintendent wrote in a letter to parents and students that the chef used the meat due to its nutritional value, and that while the meat is legal to sell and considered safe to eat by the USDA, students should know what's in the food that they're eating.
Tell you what, though, the pole vaulting team nailed it later on that day.
He added that there will be no way that we will be serving food of this nature again. Period. I mean, really.
Kangaroo asses.
It's just meat.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand.
Well, you know.
Somebody out for some reason, but anyhow, that is what we have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Let's take a break, and let's do another one of these giveaways. Our friends at Harvest Seasonal Grill have brought in this wonderful food this morning. By the way, they have a ninth location.
Yes. Yes!
Steve's very fired up about it.
Yes!
Opens in Lancaster on November 3rd at the Shops at Belmont, which is Route 30, and Fruitville Pike. And you'll want to check that out. So November 3rd is when that opens up. So we'll take caller number 19 at 215-263-WMMR, and I'll give you a $50 Harvest gift card.
Excellent.
How about that? You can visit harvestseasonalgrill.com for more information. Caller number 19, you win. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Alice in Chains. Godsmack.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
It's 4 minutes after 10 o'clock. Beautiful fall day today. Getting up to about 65 degrees. We're cooling off tomorrow. 55 with ample sunshine. And 52 is all we're going to get up to on Thursday. So just giving you a little warning on that. We have a trip to Vegas. Giving it away on Friday. And that's to see Disturbed and meet the band January 12th. But MMR presents Disturbed here in town Monday, February 18th, Wells Fargo Center. 3 Days Grace is opening that show. Tickets, there's a pre-sale started 6 minutes ago. No, wait, 10 a.m. And it goes through Thursday. It starts today and it goes through Thursday at 10 p.m. And you can go to WMMR.com and get all the details right then and there. Today's lesson question will get you a pair of tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert with Philly Pops. That's at the Kimmel Center on Friday, November 9th. So the question I have for you this morning is, Liam Neeson's son is going to change his name to honor his late mother, Natasha Richardson. Unnecessarily, what is Liam Neeson going to change his name to? 215-263-WMMR. What is it? Liam Neeson going to change his name to? 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you're calling him.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of the day, two bacon and egg cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts with Dunkin' Go-To's. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner's trademark black silk pajamas and red smoking jacket are going up for auction. Whoever purchases Hefner's leisure wear will, by default, also receive approximately one quart of dried piss and 2 miles of skid marks.
Oh, my God.
2 miles. That's a lot. He wore them for a long time. Kylie Jenner is being sued by Cherie Cosmetics for allegedly stealing their Born to Sparkle makeup line and selling their own Born to Sparkle line. Kylie denies the accusation, noting that, quote, it's all useless crap anyway. And finally, 95-year-old game show legend Bob Barker was taken to an L.A. hospital yesterday with an extreme back pain. Barker was reportedly injured during sex while attempting to perform an Alabama Hot Pocket.
Wow.
You were trash.
That dude is still vibrant, man.
Oh, he's banging away.
There you go. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Liam Neeson's son is going to change his name to honor his late mother, Natasha Richardson, unnecessarily. What is Liam Neeson going to change his name to? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Brittany.
Hey.
Hey, Brittany.
Hi.
Brittany, what is Liam Neeson going to change his name to?
Vanessa Redgrave.
Yes. Vanessa Redgrave. Hang on a second, Brittany. We're going to get your information, and we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert, and that is with the Philly Pops, and that's at the Kimmel Center on Friday, November 9th. Storm's Crazy Kind of Love set features classic rock hits, as well as tunes like I've Got You Under My Skin, Somebody to Love, and Forever Young. Tickets are on sale now at PhillyPops.org.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right. You like that?
Wasn't expecting it.
Brought to you this morning by Armor Metals and Recycling. In any of the construction trades, Armor Metals pays top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, and peripheries. 8300 National Highway in Pensauken, or you can call 856-665-5715. I have a lot of stories.
Let it rip.
For music news for you. Greta Van Fleet has designated an app that's available via iOS and Android devices in which users are guided to local parks to enjoy Age of Man, the epic track that opens the band's newly released debut album called the Anthem of the Peaceful Army. Now, the band said in a statement, "We hope that you, your ears are delighted by the introduction to our album, Age of Man, when you embark on the White Rose March. Appreciate the nature and experience and unreleased Greta Van Fleet song." Kind of unique. The statement continued saying, "We have a new song to share with you and would like you to experience it in nature. If you share your location, we'll help you find the nearest park to listen. Fans are encouraged to take photos of their surroundings as well."
But it sounds exciting. It's like Pokemon Go.
I never heard of that before. That's kind of nice.
Greta Van Fleet Go.
Ozzy Osbourne is headlining a special one-night-only version of Ozfest. And it'll be on New Year's Eve at the Forum in Los Angeles, where he's going to be joined by Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, Korn frontman Jonathan Davis, Black Label Society, Body Count, and four other yet-to-be-announced acts.
Except he's going to bed at 9.
Meanwhile, he spoke to Rolling Stone about the staph infection that required him to have surgery on his hand and cancel 4 shows earlier this month. Ozzy recalled about his visit to the emergency room. He said, "I didn't feel sick, so I was cracking jokes. And the doctor said, 'I don't know if you realize, Mr. Osbourne, this is a very serious problem that you have.'" Ozzy ended up with not one, but 3 staph infections in his thumb and middle finger. He described the surgery, saying they cut all this stuff out. Even with the numbing stuff, he said it was agony. He said it wasn't pus, but it was the stage after pus, when it gets in your blood and goes into your body and kills you. Yeah. It was infection.
Yeah.
It may sound effed up what I'm saying to you, but the doctor was really concerned about checking my blood, he said. Ozzy's on the mend right now, says he hasn't been able to do anything since he got home. He explained, "I'm right-handed. You can't wipe your own ass." He said, "And I don't have many effing volunteers who want to do that for me."
I guess it would be hard, especially with Ozzy's ass.
Yeah.
That's rock and roll ass.
Go wipe your ass with the other hand today.
Yeah, try it.
See how that...
Before you start laughing.
Let's all think of Ozzy and wipe her hand with the other ass.
Do it. Yeah. It's quite an experience. Your hand will smell like poop.
Live a little. You said wipe our hand with the other ass.
Did I say wipe your hand?
With the other ass.
Oh, sorry. If you have an extra ass, wipe your other hand.
You can do it. Is that whatever floats your boat?
What did I mess up earlier, too? I reversed something.
Liam Neeson.
Jackie Gleason.
I checked out 10 minutes
Listen,
ago.
Listen, we're already in London right now having a pint.
It's only going to get better from here.
I can only imagine what Friday's show is going to sound like.
Oh, my. I'm, like, nervous a little bit.
It'll be fine, but the great part is that when it gets really bad, we can simply jump into the river.
Mm-hmm. We're right
we'll
there.
Be right there.
Mm-hmm. Swim away crying.
Geddy Lee maintains that Rush will never hit the road again. Back in January.
Do you believe that?
Yeah. I think it's done. Back in January, Alex Lifeson shocked fans when he revealed that the band had no plans to record or tour anymore. Rush played their last show to date on August 1st, 2015 at the Forum in Inglewood, California. Geddy Lee remains busy, though, with the December 4th release of his book. It's called Geddy Lee's Big Beautiful Book of Bass. And the band is still exciting fans with the 40th anniversary deluxe edition of its groundbreaking 1978 Hemispheres album coming out November 16th. When asked about the state of Rush today, he told Rolling Stone the state of Rush in general. He said, "Well, I'd like to say I can't really tell you much other than that there are zero plans to tour again. As I said earlier, we're very close and talk all the time, but we don't talk about work. We're friends, and we talk about life as friends."
Do they play video games together?
I'm not sure. I can't really tell you more than that, I'm afraid. I would say there's no chance of seeing Rush on tour again as Alex, Geddy, and Neil. But would you see one of us or two of us or three of us? He said that's possible.
I would bet you that down the road, were it for the right reason, like a charity event or something, a one-night-only evening with.
Now, that maybe is possible.
Yeah.
But a tour, no. Here's the deal. When these guys, when they've stopped playing for a while,
yeah,
what they play is so technical and difficult, and at the age that they're at now, they have to work really, really hard just to get ready.
To get back.
Just to get their body in shape to play. So I don't think Neil's going to do that anymore. Do I think Alex and Geddy are going to write some stuff together again? Absolutely.
What do you think the new iteration of their pairing will be?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't see it as a big touring thing. I see them just putting some music out.
You have a whole list of band names you've been accruing over the years.
I do.
Send them some of that stuff.
Yeah, I had a good one the other day. I can't remember what it was, though. But anyhow, as far as pursuing future music projects,
Getty said that I don't think about it, and I think, though, that once the dust settles from this project, I'll probably find myself bored and wandering down to the studio to try and enliven my own life. And if something of a positive nature happens down there, then I'll take it to the next step. But beyond that, I could only guess.
I'd like to see him play a dad on a Disney sitcom.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Getty.
Getty and the Boys.
Growing Up Getty.
Yeah, Growing Up Getty. Getty got it.
Getty Knows Best.
Getty Knows Best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of things.
Getty Dunn.
Yeah, Getty Dunn.
Hiya, home from school. Do you think now, with him promoting this book, and Getty Lee? Hey, who's been screwing around my guitar? You're all chipper. You're very peert.
Oh. He's screwing around my guitar.
I think it'd be a home run.
I think it's a hit. Yeah. Man. Netflix or something to pick that up.
With him promoting this book, let's work really hard to see about
Casey's been working on it.
Getting him into studio.
Has he?
I told you about it like a month ago that this book was coming out.
Boy.
Yes.
Well, we might have lost some ground.
Okay.
I'm not the book guy. Nick's the book guy.
Oh.
Nick's, I'm the book guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Nick's the book guy.
Hey, book guy. Can you get on that?
Book guy over here.
It's coming out in December, so he won't be really heavily promoting it for a little while. I think that's what he said. It was in December.
He says he'll start after Canadian Box Day or Boxing Day.
Boxing Day.
No, you know what? You are right. I did reach out. But Nick is also the book guy.
Is he going to be touring behind the book? Is he going to do like
that?
That'd be cool.
I have no idea. If he did like signings and stuff, that'd be really cool, and I'd love to get him by here. But we shall see. Who fans are celebrating the release today of Roger Daltrey's long-awaited autobiography. It's called Thanks a Lot, Mr. Kibblewhite, My Story. The book, which reads as though you were in the room with Daltrey, covers his early life during and after World War II, his days as a factory worker, not to mention the trials and tribulations, failures and successes with The Who. The, quote, draconian headmaster who is immortalized in the book's title, Mr. Kibblewhite, had expelled Daltrey from high school, leading him to reach his true potential as a musician.
Mr. Daltrey, you'll never amount to anything.
Yeah, I think it is.
With your rock and roll lifestyle and tousled hair. Oh, sure, the ladies gravitate towards you in copious numbers, but your ability to retain valuable information is suspect at the least.
I have a feeling that it was like that.
Yeah.
And
now come into my office and I shall proceed to whack you on the bare buttocks while I wear this sombrero.
Sombrero?
It is my thing. It's what I'm into. It's how I derive sexual pleasure.
He has to be wearing a sombrero.
You know, Mr. Kibblewhite's got like, or he's probably, my guess is he's dead at this point.
He's long dead by now.
I read what you wrote about me, you son of a bitch. You're still alive!
They buried him with his sombrero.
What year is he born? Do we know?
Daltrey? 1923.
No, it had to have been the 40s, right?
Yeah, well, it's at the end of World War II.
Well, he was alive during World War II.
He actually fought. He was a general.
I did not know that.
That's what Tommy is about. That's why that's the whole war opening. Oh.
He was born in
1944.
So there you go, Casey. Yes, the 40s indeed.
Yes, of course.
So anyhow, Daltrey talks frankly about how the band ended up being ripped off by their beloved managers, Kit Lambert and Chris Stamp, as the pair, meaning he and Pete Townsend, fell deeper into a morass of addiction, embodying the characters Pete Townsend created for Tommy, Lifehouse, and Quadrophenia, dealing with his often temperamental partners, his illegitimate children, and how he and Townsend ended up closer than ever after 50 years as bandmates.
So I listened to Tommy, the original Tommy album. I forget why we were talking about it recently, but I think both
because of Max.
What's that?
Max Walker.
That's it. Yes, yep. Exactly. And so I listened to it. It's phenomenal.
It's great.
That original album, double album, is so good.
So great. They don't make concept records like that anymore.
No, I mean with long musical passages and the full orchestra and the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, R. Kelly's doing the concept album.
All his stuff involves piss.
Yeah. Most fascinatingly, Daltrey talks at length about his 51-year relationship with his wife, Heather.
51 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Especially through all that, through that world, that rock, you know, on top of the world.
He was able to stay together.
Yeah. Two concerts have popped up on my radar. I mentioned this earlier this morning. Former Dire Straits leader Mark Knopfler has just announced a 26-state summer tour for 2019.
I love Dire Straits, and I love Mark Knopfler.
So he chose to skip the Dire Straits 2018 induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but will release his ninth solo album called Down the Road Wherever on November 9th, marking his first studio set in 3 years. He's going to be touring with a 10-piece backing band.
Yeah.
Said in the tour announcement, my songs are made to be performed live. I love the whole process of writing them alone and then recording them with the band, but ultimately the best part is playing them to an audience live. I enjoy the whole circus, traveling from town to town, and interacting with this group of players is a total pleasure. I'm really looking forward to it.
You want to talk about a masterful guitar player.
And they will be here in Philadelphia on August 17th at the Metropolitan Opera House. I don't have ticket sales information at this point.
November 2nd at 10 a.m.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
He has actually he's done a couple of my favorite soundtrack albums of all time. He did the soundtrack for a movie called Local Hero, which I love, and a movie about the IRA, about investment, no, about the Irish Republican Army, and it was a called Cal. It's some of the most beautiful music you'll ever hear.
And then this, I highly recommend you go see. Jeff Lynne's ELO is rolling out 20 arena shows for next summer, and they will be back in Philadelphia.
I'm not missing it this time.
And it's on a Saturday.
Of course, this is the time he comes back and does just acoustic.
No, July 13th.
On a piccolo.
At the Wells Fargo Center. Nick, do you have on sale information about that?
That I don't.
Okay.
But I am. I already put this one on my calendar as well, Steve. I missed it this year. Preston, you were raving about it. I love Jeff Lynne. I love ELO. Mm-hmm. Never seen them live, and I am not missing it next year.
Are you going to go see it again?
I think I may go again. It's on a Saturday night. It'd be easy to go. I think I...
Should
I
we rent a bus with a stripper pole in it?
I think we got to do that. It's such a great show. So anyhow, back in town, July 13th at the Wells Fargo Center, which is very, very cool.
So I just found on Rolling Stone tickets go on sale to the general public beginning October 29th.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. All right. And there you go. That is what I have in music news. Told you there was a bunch here this morning.
Yes. Very, very well done.
Casey, thank you.
From the far-flung corners of the earth.
Let's do some more of these movie screening passes. I let them back up. I apologize. I skipped out yesterday. I didn't give that many away that last Friday, but we're going to make sure that we do fill up theater for Bohemian Rhapsody. It's tomorrow night, and it will be at the UA King of Prussia at 7:30. You'll need to be there by 7 o'clock. We'll take another 10 callers, and we'll put you on our list. 215-263 WMMR, so go ahead and give us a call right now. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Get you closer to winning that trip to Vegas that we have for the Word of the Week prize. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
And give us and wish you were here on MMR. MMR rocks, 10:30 exactly. For the Preston and Steve show. Gonna wrap things up. This has been a chock-full program today. Very much enjoyed it. A lot of good conversation, a lot of good giveaways, too. So a few thank yous here. I want to thank Harvest Seasonal Grill and Wine Bar. Buddy,
so good.
Rogan for coming by this morning and setting us up with some goodies. And you can check their website out at harvestseasonalgrill.com. They're opening up a ninth location in Lancaster in early November.
Yeah!
So gift cards and all kinds of holiday parties and things like that that you can arrange through those guys. Thank you also to actor-director Paul Dano, who was here. We're all fans of this guy.
Yes.
And he's very quiet. He's a very soft-spoken guy. Great. And I'm always amazed by people like that who, they're regular personalities like this, and then you'll see them explode into a maniac
on screen.
But
he's so cool. And out in the green room, press, how was it? Was it okay on the ears?
Yeah.
No.
He's an actor.
He's an actor. No, and his directorial debut with this film.
Yeah, and it's called Wildlife, and the film has a screening tonight, 6 o'clock at the Film Center, and there's a Q&A with Paul Dano there. If you would like to go, you can go to filmadelphia.org and get the tickets through there. Sorry to Kurt, who came by to get a tattoo, but Troy didn't show up today.
The hell's going on?
Philadelphia Eddies. I don't know. Casey's working on trying to find out what happened. We're going to make sure that Kurt gets the ink that he wants. He's getting a Metallica tattoo.
Come on.
With Preston and
in
Steve.
In celebration of this big event that's coming up.
As well, so
it should have happened.
Sorry, Kurt.
It's disgusting.
Sorry, man. Thank you to Miss October Samantha and her 10 minutes here by the radio station.
But there were 10 minutes to remember.
Yeah, she came by for the hottie camera. She had to get to the doctor. She didn't feel
She's performing surgery.
Performing surgery.
She's actually a neurosurgeon took a break.
I think she's doing the world's first head transplant today.
No
Unbelievable.
Way.
Yeah, and so, the fact that they can do that is awesome.
And that she took the time to come by and do the hottie cam on the big day.
She left, put the head on, keep warm.
Yeah.
And then came back.
Yep. Let me see. Oh, we need to do the letter of the day. And by the magic power of radio, let's see if we can go to location. Ardmore Music Hall. Pierre Robert, are you there?
I am
he
here.
He is here! Yes! It works. You're getting ready for the Pierre Presents.
Yeah, Rival Sons are on stage even now, in fact, doing a little sound check.
Cool.
And we are, I guess we'll open the doors around 11, a little bit after 11, and let the crowd in. And we'll start our question and answer thing, a Q&A, about noon. And they'll play six, seven, eight songs, however many they have selected for us to play. Mm-hmm. And Indre Recording is here. We're recording the whole thing. And then we will play it back because of the Metallica show and the big birthday bash coming up on Thursday. We will hold it till next week. I think we're going to play it back next Tuesday.
You know what you should do, Pierre, is go. Bands love when you do this. Go in front of them while they're performing and pretend you're conducting them.
Oh.
You should try that.
Steve.
They just love that.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell them the songs they should play, too.
Yeah.
They
they love that.
You know, when we had the Dropkick Murphys, I said, we're upstairs in the dressing room. I said, you know, this is wild, but would you just do The Seasons Upon Us? Because it's such a great, you know, holiday song. And I think this was in January or something. And they go, well, it's past that time. I go, I know, just for fun. And then I'll have it for next year. And they go, okay, that's nice. And they blew that off. I go, well, how about? And they go, no. How about? No. How about? No.
Wow.
And I go, okay. And they mostly did new stuff, and then they did Rose Tattoo. So, you know.
Listen, we don't take orders from the tube-op-a-dop, tube-dop-a-dop guy. Don't you make your crazy sounds and quote True Grit and leave us alone.
Reciting True Grit.
Oh, God. Coffee just arrived. Thank God.
All right. Yeah, you sound like maybe that will fix things. Listen, we got people waiting for the letter. We can do that and then find out what else is going on. You set, my man?
Absolutely. I have no idea what yesterday's was, but let's go.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Let's see if this works. The Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
I'm going to go with A as in attitude.
It works.
It can work, yes. Yeah. Yesterday was a consonant, so all right. A, then it is. All right, so we have a trip to Las Vegas to see Disturbed and meet the band on January 12th. And MMR presents Disturbed on Monday, February 18th, Wells Fargo Center. 3 Days Grace is opening the show. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. But there is a presale that is happening right now. It goes through Tuesday or Thursday at 10 p.m. while supplies last. Complete details, of course, are available at WMMR.com. So the Pierre Presents, anything else you want to mention about today's program?
No, we got a huge house coming. They're a really popular band. People sometimes think with a band that you've only heard a few singles from that they're brand new, but they've been around since 2009, and they've got a big fan base, and they've played through Philly many times, so they've got a lot of folks that are very anxious to see them. That's going to be fun. And Robin, the lovely Robin Lee, will be back at the station. I'll check in with her a few times over the course of the day, but she will conduct the bulk of my broadcast, including birthday bucks, words at 11 and 1 and many more good things.
All right, Pierre, enjoy it today. We'll see you soon, okay?
Rock on, you English bastards.
Yes, you got it. Thank you, Pierre Robert. Ardmore Musical. I got to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme Markets, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow in our studio, wow, we keep having them by, you know, all these great film hobnobbers, or would hobnobber be the right name? No.
Homyonkles.
Homyonkles.
In the cinematic world, it's a homyonkle. That's a movie auteur.
Jason Reitman will be in our
wow,
studio.
Wow, holy crap.
Yeah, he's back. We'll also speak to Andy Cohen and Fox Good Day. We're going to do an appearance on TV tomorrow. And we'll do the last of those passes to join us in London if you happen to be headed out there, and a few other things to give away as well. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.